Horse Creek Consulting is a firm that specializes in helping musicians, organizations, and really anyone with a good idea bring their online course and e-learning visions to the world.
That's right, Zach. Horse Creek's experts will help you build scalability and passive income for your creative business. They will help you share your story, share your expertise with students, make more profits, and change lives around the world. Horse Creek does not sell dreams. They consult, coach, and implement them.
Be sure to visit www.coursecreek.com for any more information, and be on the lookout for a new project from me, Zach, on there soon. Huntley Guitar Lessons is a music studio outside of the city of Chicago that offers expert instruction in guitar, bass, keys, ukulele, and mixing and mastering. We also offer online classes through Zoom and Skype for anyone that is outside of the area but is looking for help. All stages, ages, genres, and interests are welcome, and we specialize in customizing your lesson material to reach your goals the fastest. Visit HuntleyGuitarLessons.com for more information and mention this podcast for a massive discount on your first month of lessons.
Dissonant. Harmony.
I didn't even know what OBS was until like 2 weeks ago. So
yeah. I think when we interviewed Ron Jarzombek, and he was like one of our first interviews ever, he brought up your book, or I brought up your book in the interview because...
Oh, yeah.
He had mentioned it on Facebook, and I was like,
yeah, I got a copy too.
You got a copy? Why aren't you fancy?
It's not mine. It's somebody else's. I don't own my own book. I have all the guitar profiles on my computer. So,
yeah.
Which I was looking to actually send those out, you know, to offer it as like a digital download for some people, but I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, awesome. Roger Zombek's like one of my favorites, man.
Oh, he's so awesome.
He's been like, I've been listening to him since like 2010, I think.
Yeah, we're probably about the same. Zach introduced me to him, I'm pretty sure, and it was that first Blood of Science album probably has spent more time in my ears than any other album ever.
The Blooded Science one.
Yeah, that first one. It just killed.
Machinations.
Yeah, or Machinations.
I think the first thing I heard from him was the. When he did the music over that Creep Show scene.
Oh yeah.
That was the first thing that I had seen from him. And, I was just like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? Like in all the great, in all the best ways.
Yep.
And oh, he's great. He's so nice. Like he's just a
best.
One of my buddies here in town. His name's Jeff. And where are you guys from?
I'm outside of Chicago and Seth is like Southern Indiana. Evansville.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So I'm in Nebraska. And I got a guy out here named, his name's Jeff Durio, and he used to live down in Texas, and he used to teach at the same place that Ron taught. And so they would always kind of BS back and forth and stuff. And he was just telling me that, you know, Ron is just he's just kind of a weird guy, but like not like mean weird, but just like, you know, just likes to make weird jokes, and people are kind of like, they chuckle at him very strangely.
Yeah. So I could see that.
So it's really cool though, man, like just how cool he can be in general. But, and I've chatted with him a little bit because I think he saw, cause he teaches guitar, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And he saw that I got this new studio out here where I'm at. And he was like, oh my God, dude, that place looks freaking awesome. And I was like, why are you talking to me right now? Like, is this real? Are you really talking to me? I thought somebody was like playing a prank on me, but then I'm like, who else would play a prank on me? So, but anyway, Jeff Durio, he was telling me all these stories about him and Ron. And then I talked to Ron about it, and he was like, oh my God, you need to tell Jeff hi, because that guy's freaking awesome and huge and buff. So yeah, man, it was cool that he brought up my book. I sent him one, and I sent Rusty one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Rusty brought you up too. Ron brought it up. Ron brought it up on Facebook, and I actually told him that I bought the book based off of him posting it. And it's killer.
Well, thanks, man.
And Ron put it best. He's like, if you just want a ton of exercises, just hammer through anything you got problems with, it's in this book.
Yeah. Well, see, that was the original intention of it was, you know, cause, and Zach, you teach, right?
Yes.
So like, I got really tired of tired's the wrong word. I just got like burned out on having to re-tab everything for people.
Oh, of course.
You know, over and over and over again, the same major scales, the same minor scales. And hey, how about this pattern and then the Phrygian modes and all that stuff. And I was like, what if I just did like, you know, I'll just make files for them. And then I ended up making like 100 different files because I was all like OCD about it. Mm-hmm. And then Alicia, my wife, she's a graphic artist. So she made the book.
Okay.
She designed everything. Awesome. Yep. She designed everything, put it all together for me because I'm a freaking moron when it comes to that stuff. Like, and then so she put it all together. Looks really nice. The photo was done by a local girl here, Shauna. So she did the photo at I'm in a System of a Down tribute band. And that was from that show. So anyway, it all just kind of started coming together. And Alicia was like, you should put this into a book. And I was like, I don't know if anybody would buy that freaking book. And I was like, she's like, well, your students probably would if they need the info. And I was like, I guess that's true. So
yep.
And then I ended up selling, I think it became a bestseller on Amazon for a little bit.
Wow.
That's awesome, man. Congrats.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, well, man. Yeah. It's really cool.
I know I could just start up my own guitar teaching business now.
Right. Yeah. With using my book.
Using your book. So I need you to buy this book, Lesson One.
Hey, if I'm making money, it's fine. I told, you know, because I sent it to Rusty and he was looking at it and he's like, dude, I thought this thing was going to be like 20 pages and it's going to be shit I've seen every time. And he's like, well, this is like ridiculous. And I was like, yeah, no. And then it turned into, I'm really big into like entrepreneurial stuff.
Okay.
You know, like, cool. You guys know like Grant Cardone?
Yeah.
Grant Cardone's like, you know, this almost billionaire guy and he built his own company from the ground up, but whatever, really cool guy. And he has like a daily journal that he came out with, the 10X journal. And it's basically you write out your goals for the day, what you're going to accomplish, who you got to call and all that stuff. And I bought one and it really keeps me in check. And I was like, man, it'd be kind of cool to have that in a guitar book. And I don't think anybody else has that.
Yeah.
That's very cool, man.
Oh yeah. You're talking about like the last several pages of it. Where it's
there's 52 of them. So one week. So it lasts you a year.
Mm-hmm. And then they need to buy another book.
And then, they could do that. I also have a tab book or not a tab book. A blank tab book.
Really?
On Amazon as well. Yeah. It's like 200 some pages of just blank tabs. So you can tab stuff out.
Nice.
So, Zach and I were talking and we know, other than the recommendations we've got from Ron and Rusty and this actual book sitting in front of me, I know very little about you. You hit me up shortly after we interviewed Rusty and you was like, hey, could you come on? They were like, you're reading my mind. I was saying the exact same thing while I was talking to Rusty about this. Like, we should talk to Zach. Mm-hmm. So give us a little background about yourself. It says you, national guitar competition winner. You're a guitar teacher. You are.
Yep. So basically, I've been playing guitar since, let's see, I would have been 12 when I started. My dad was my instructor because he plays too. He's in like an Aussie tribute band here in town. Has fun with that. Yeah. He's old school, just rock, you know? And, so I started, that would have been 2004. So 16 years now I've been playing. And for a little while, I went to college for it and everything. And then I hated college, so I left. I didn't want to get my degree because I just thought it was stupid. Like, other people do fine in it. And I'm not a studier. I just don't care. I wanted to play guitar. I didn't want to study. And then I ended up getting a job where, funny enough, I was working at Walmart. But I ended up getting a job at Walmart just to pay bills and stuff. And then that kind of took off for a little while. And I kind of stopped playing guitar for like a year, which was just depressing. But I was making really, really good money to where I could afford stuff, get a car, get an apartment, you know. And that was nice instead of just being a struggling musician type.
Yep.
And then did a couple other stuff after Walmart and a couple other things after that. And then I ended up selling cars for a couple of years. And then I became like a really good car salesman. And that's where I found out about like the Grant Cardone stuff, because I tried doing lessons, but I could not get people to sign up. I didn't know how to sell. I didn't know how to advertise myself. I knew nothing. I didn't know how to close a deal to save my life. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you got people like, yeah, man, I'd like to take lessons. And then you're like, cool, well, let's set something up. And then they're like, well, we'll see, you know, or whatever. You probably have more of that, Zach, you know, where you get like people texting you and stuff and or calling you and then they don't freaking.
This time of year, it's kind of funny because I get a bunch of people that buy gift cards for their significant other and none of them ever get used.
Dude, isn't that the weirdest thing you've ever seen? Like, you just spent 100-some bucks on lessons and you're not even here?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Maybe I would say, I think the best year I got a 20% return on those. I mean, like, you know, I just, that's it.
Yeah. Do you teach on your own or do you teach somewhere?
I have my own school. Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
How many students you got?
It depends on what week it is. Right now it's a little weird because of the classes being through Zoom and stuff like that with like the bigger groups.
Right.
Being outside of Chicago, we're not supposed to have, you know, a lot of people.
Sure.
I mean, I've had like upwards of 80, but then I also have had, you know, I think right now it's probably closer to 40, 50, something like that.
And that's just you, or do you have multiple teachers?
I have some other teachers too, but they're not currently doing much.
I see.
They're more on like other instruments and stuff like that. So they're kind of doing their own thing in their own studio kind of thing. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back on the whole thing, I was selling cars and I got really good at selling cars. Like my first month, mm-hmm. I sold like 13 cars and, you know, just doing what they told me to do. And then I took a bunch of sales training courses, all this stuff. And then I became like a car manager or not a car. It was like a car. I don't even know what I didn't even think I had an official name. I was just like a advertiser, mm-hmm. okay. essentially. So then they sent me to all these courses on doing like Google advertising, Facebook advertising, how to optimize websites and stuff like that. They spent like a bunch of money on that. And then after a while, 2017, I got Ibanez hosted a competition with Paul Gilbert.
Oh, very cool.
And I got first place in that. And I won this Ibanez J Custom. I think it was like the 40th year anniversary or something. So I got first place there. And then that kind of like right then I was only had like one or two students at home that I would teach on the weekends.
Okay.
But I had like 8 people reach out to me right away. They're like, dude, I want to learn from you. I think, you know, I watched your video, whatever. And I was like, oh shoot. So then I was like thinking as a salesperson and as a marketer now over a couple of years, I was like, I think I should, you know, try to optimize this as best as I could. So I was still working full time at the car dealership, 60 hours a week. And then I was teaching probably 30 hours a week at the same time. So, and it was like, I'd go at work at 8 o'clock, I'd get done at 5, and then I'd go until sometimes almost till like 10 o'clock at night. So, I mean, I was long ass days.
Wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, after about 4 months of that, I just decided to go off on my own and it was just me. So then I started, you know, cause I had 50 students and within like 4 months.
That's awesome.
So I was able to shut off all the advertising, shut off all the stuff and just make money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I got a small studio out here in Omaha, like just this real crappy place, but it was month to month. And that was all I could really afford. Cause you know, you didn't really know if you're going to be able to handle that stress. You know, and so I got in there for about 6 months or so, and then they saw that I was getting all these students in, and so they were going to try to up my rent. They tried to double it. It was like $800 a month instead of $400.
Holy shit, seriously?
Yeah, because it was month to month. There was no contract, so they could do whatever they wanted, really.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it sucked. And but the thing is too is like the whole freaking place smelled like weed, you know, which you know, I don't care. I don't smoke, you know, I got asthma, but because I'm super
lame. Certainly not a good thing for business, regardless.
No, there's a place down like 3 doors down from me that was called like Beats and Tats. They were a rap recording studio that did tattoos. It's horrible.
Beats and Tats.
And they didn't last very long, but like it just reeked, man. And you know, one funny story about that was this kid came in and, you know, my room wasn't terrible, but sometimes, you know, just through the vents, it would come into my room, but like the hallway was horrible because it would just seep under their door. Well, this kid got done with his lesson. He's like probably maybe 12 and him and his dad, they open up the door, they walk out and you can see the dad's face goes like, whoa, like it's just straight up weed smell. And the kid goes, he's like, oh, it smells like grandpa's garage out here. And the dad and I just looked at each other and we both kind of chuckled like, oh yeah, it kind of does. This is hilarious. But anyway, so he tried to double my rent, and I already hated the place because it was, you know, just smelled. And anyway, so I decided to go up the street a little bit, and we got this place up on the, it was a really cool place because nobody was in the building. It had been there since the 60s, but it was still well kept. And, but the problem was it was on the third floor. So I had to carry all our gear up all the time. Three floors. It's horrible.
Brutal.
But we were there for 2 years, but the rent was fine. And I paid by the room rather than a whole, you know, whatever, like one consistent rent. So then I got in Getty. He's our drum instructor here. And another guy named Adam came on board doing guitar. And that lasted a little while. Had to let a couple people go here and there. And, you know, just business stuff happened. And then just we had about 140 students or something before the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And then they pay, basically they pay me a commission. They teach however many they teach, and they pay me 20% of that roughly. Mm-hmm. So that helps pay bills, and everything that they pay me just goes to paying bills. And then just in July this year, so is that like 6 months ago? Got it. Yep. Something like that. So July, I found a place just up the street from there, basically right off the interstate here in Omaha. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Omaha or not, but yeah. So basically right off the main interstate, I-80, I got a place, and it had been here since like the 50s. And they had like smoked in here, and there was dogs and stuff. They had like been here since the 50s, so they didn't care. And I walked in though, and I saw it had all of these rooms, and it was on the main level, which was like a huge selling point for me at that point. I was fucking tired of carrying drums up and amps and cabs up those freaking stairs.
Oh yeah.
And and it was right when the pandemic happened, because this was, it was, we moved in July, but this was like back in February when I was getting things set up, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was talking to the landlord and all these people, and the guy was kind of freaked out because he didn't know who, you know, if he was going to be able to pay rent on the whole lot, you know, just businesses shutting down and whatnot. And then here comes this freaking idiot, me, in the middle of a pandemic trying to boost business. And, you know, and I was scared, man, because we, you know, my beginner teacher, he lost more than half his students right away.
Wow.
You know, he, you know, we tried to get him a webcam, but people weren't into that. You know, they wanted to come in, but it's like, well, you can't come in. But anyway, I come strolling in and asking to sign a 5-year lease on something. So he was like, I'll do whatever you want. That's literally what he said. He's like, I'll do whatever you want to get you in here, as long as you sign, you know, as long as you sign a contract. And I was like, I'll do 5 years, and I want you to redo this entire place for us. And he did. Brand new carpet, awesome. Brand new ceiling, brand new,
sick.
Brand new air conditioning heater. Like, he spent $38,000 on this place for me.
Wow.
So it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. I love this whole place, and I wish I could give you a tour of it, but I, you know, my camera's set here, but maybe someday. I mean, you know, everything's consistent, brand new carpet, brand new toilets, brand new, like, oh my God. And then I told him, I was like, I'm allergic to smoke. So you're going to have to bring in a team to, you know, eradicate that smoke smell and, you know, get rid of the ceiling tiles and have a crew go up there and clean. And they did. And it's just been great, man.
That's so cool.
So, you know, and now we're back up to about 150 or something right now, students total.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's super cool. So that's, I guess that's my story. I don't know. I play guitar all day, and that's it.
Nice.
I love it. Well, congrats on that. I mean, that's super cool.
Thanks, man.
I'm just curious, because I mean, myself being a teacher and then working with other teachers and stuff like that. And when COVID sort of hit, when, like, how did that impact you? Like, you said a little bit about it, but like, did you guys start doing more with anything like streaming wise or anything where did you shift your business in different ways, or did you just kind of keep doing the same thing, but move it to Zoom or?
Yeah. A lot of people were really cool here in town. You know, a lot of our students didn't really get affected. Like, Steve lost half because they're all beginners, and it was more like they don't care.
That's hard.
But like, but you know, cause it's like, I mean, this is just a luxury for them, but there are some students that I have, like most of mine are all, they're intermediate to advanced. Like, I only teach that much. I try not to take beginners anymore. That's what Steve is for. But he lost a lot, But a lot of my students stayed, which was great, mm-hmm. you know, and a couple of them couldn't do lessons because they were kind of scared, you know, about getting sick, but they mm-hmm. paid me anyway.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then, but I will say that getting into this space, you know, back in February, I had it set out that we were going to get in here July 1st. I had it set up in my contract that they were going to give me the first 3 months for free anyway.
Oh, okay.
Well, so wow. I didn't even have to pay rent for 3 months, which is like, cause I told them, I was like, with this, the coronavirus, and then also I got to pay a deposit and I got to get, I mean, shit, man, I dropped so much damn money getting in here because you got to pay like, you know, OPPD, you know, your electrical, your heating, your air, and then they got to do a deposit on everything. And then it cost me to get my internet moved, like $400 to move internet. And I was like, what the fuck? That's crazy. I know, it's so stupid. I mean, and then I had to get a sign by city ordinance. I have to have a lit up sign. So that was $5,000.
Wow.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think I was talking with Alicia, my wife, about it. I think we dropped close to $10,000 just to get into this place. But wow. In the middle of a freaking pandemic, and I looking back, I wouldn't suggest anybody to do that. but I had the money set aside for, you know, because I've told all my teachers always, like, guitar and drums and music in general is a luxury thing for people. It's not a car payment. It's not a house payment. If shit hits the fan, that's the first thing to go.
Yeah.
And if you know that and you keep that in mind going forward, then you kind of set yourself up to be able to have that luxury, I guess, you know? Mm. So, yeah, man. It was cool. It's really cool being here. And then I just like to freaking be here all day.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is my room. This is where I teach, too. I teach right here. And then the students sit over there. I just move the chair out of the way.
Nice.
Oh, I have that Ibanez. I thought it was at home. Hang on a second. Thought I had it at home, but I didn't have it there. So this is that guitar.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful guitar.
Yeah, the Tree of Life. It's got the Tree of Life on it and stuff. It's pretty dope, man. I mean, I don't really play six string guitars. I usually play seven.
Right. Yep.
But it's really cool. It's the 30th anniversary. So I think they only made like 100 of them or something.
That's cool. Amazing guitar.
And then my freaking cat rubbed on it and dropped, and then it dropped on the freaking thing, and I got.
Of course, there's always something like that, right?
Yeah.
Oh man.
But so, I just got an endorsement through Ormsby Guitars.
Oh, killer!
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys like those guitars or not.
Yeah, Rusty was showing off his guitars, his new guitars.
Yeah, I bought one.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive.
RC1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have this one right now, this purple one, the 7-string. Cool. It's pretty cool. I mean, I like Floyd's and, you know, but it was just something that I saw online, and it was, I got married on Halloween this year. So
nice.
So my dad bought it for me as a wedding gift.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. That's what's cool about being a guitar player. If people don't know what to get you, they usually just chip in for guitars.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's
dope. Yeah.
So it sounds like your dad is a killer dude. It, you know, how did that influence you, I guess? Cause that's always interesting to me. Cause like my parents didn't do anything with music, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of a bummer, you know. I think that a lot of, maybe not all parents, maybe back in the day, I don't know how old you are, but like 33. Back in the day, what's that? What'd you say?
I said 33.
Oh, okay. So we're,
I'm 33.
Okay. We're pretty close in age then. I'm 28, but I know a lot of people that their parents just didn't think that music was really important.
Yeah.
And that's just like an old school mentality or something, you know, but it seems that it's flipping now. I think a lot of parents wish that their kids would be more musical. It seems like they're pretty excited to get them in here. But my dad was, his dad was a guitar player, and then he died in like 1979 or something, my grandpa. And so my dad kind of learned what he could from that and then started bands in high school and stuff like that. And so he's been playing forever, like 40 years now, I think. And, you know, so we always had guitars laying around. And there's photos that he would take of me. And my brother plays drums. And he's just as good as I am at guitar, you know. So we grew up jamming together, you know. And so he was always pushing for it. So it's pretty. And then, you know, I grew up in a really, really small town. The town, there was like six towns that made up one school. And we still only had 40 students in my graduating class. And the town I lived in was 342 people.
Wow.
Yeah, Douglas, Nebraska. It was actually called a village because it was so small. It wasn't actually a town. It's so stupid. But I, you know, it's like it's just me and a bunch of old people because it was just like a retirement place, kind of like there was a bunch of apartments for old people.
Yeah.
So I just played guitar all day, and my dad worked at night. He worked overnights at a prison. He was a corporal at a prison. And when I'd come home from school, we'd have a little bit of time to play, and he'd show me some stuff, and then he'd be off, and then I'd play all night and go from there. So I'd say, like, you know, I was pretty fortunate to have that situation, you know what I mean? Because I didn't have to pay for lessons. I've never technically taken a lesson in my life with that kind of situation.
Awesome.
Yeah. Really cool. And he's old school, man. His favorite guitar player is Randy Rhodes, Eddie Van Halen, you know, that kind of stuff. So I've always been listening to Ozzy and Van Halen and Judas Priest, everything. And he was in like a, what do you call it? Like not a tribute band, but just like a cover band, whatever. You know, they just did a bunch of cover songs and stuff. So he was always jamming on stage and stuff like that. So it was really cool to watch that. It was really funny when I won that competition. I found out at like, you know, like midnight, because that's when they released it. And then I called him and we were talking about it. And he was like, "Oh my God, that's so awesome that you won." And I was like, "Yeah, I know." And he's like, "I mean, you could have played a little bit better, but I think you did pretty good."
that's a dad thing.
I know. I was like, "Thanks." I was like, "I mean, I won." He's like, "Well, barely." Barely. he's such an asshole.
Barely.
and he's like, "Wait a minute." And I was like, "What's up?" And he's like, "Does that mean that, like, if since you're the best guitar player in the United States," he's like, "does that make me the best guitar instructor in the United States?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's make it about you. Let's do that." My dad's cool. Oh,
that's funny. Yeah.
Because I don't think, like, I think that he was really proud of the situation, but also he couldn't let me know he was too proud. He had to, like, knock it down just a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
He's funny.
That stoic pride.
Yeah. So I see that you have some guitars. You play as well?
I am more of a hobbyist. I write, I do some audio engineering, just a little bit of everything, but my skill is nothing to speak of compared to everyone else on this call, for sure.
Okay.
I actually met Zach for instruction. I found him on a YouTube video talking about using meter to create tension. I was like, "Hey, that's kind of cool. Let's learn some of that."
Awesome.
So, and then I studied with Zach for what, a year or two, and back in how long ago was that?
Like
that?
Yeah,
12 years ago.
Oh my gosh!
It's been a while.
And we just couldn't get rid of him after that. He kept coming back like a lost puppy dog.
Cool. Well, you know, that's actually how things with Rusty and I kind of became what it is now. I met him at NAMM because when I won that thing the next year, there was this really super shitty guitar company that like endorsed me. And I was like, you know, super like, "Oh my God, that's kind of cool. Maybe somebody wants to endorse me." It ended up turning out that this guy is like on the run for tax evasion now and shit. Did you ever hear about that? The TTM guitars?
TTM. TTM. I think I heard about it how long ago was that? Like 10 years?
Not even, like three years ago. Well, actually, yeah. So 10 years ago, he got in trouble because he was claiming that, and I didn't know any of this at the time, you know what I mean? But I found out just doing some research afterwards, like he had this guitar company and he was claiming that they were American made, but he was importing everything from China and he got caught. And then he kind of died out for a little while and then came back and hoped that nobody would remember it. And, gotcha. And then this time around, like, that was really dumb because he was like, yeah, man, we're going to bring you on board and we're going to build you a guitar and you're going to have like all this custom stuff. And it's going to be really cool. I built like this guitar on his like, you know, guitar builder thing. And then he brought me out to NAMM. Mm-hmm. And then I should have known that it was going to get really weird, man, because like he kept saying that I'd get the guitar. And he's like, yeah, man, we'll send it to you before NAMM. And NAMM's in January, and this is October. And I'm like, dude, I mean, you've got like 3 months to get me this guitar. Otherwise, I'm going to have nothing. And then December came around, and we're trying to get things figured out, get money set aside so I can go out to this thing. Right. And he still hadn't sent the guitar. And he's like, well, we're going to have him here at the he rented like a house for us to all kind of be in for the week. And I get there. And he didn't have any guitars done. Yeah. And he just had his crappy Japanese or Chinese, whatever knockoff ones that he had from 10 years before. Wow. But I only play 7 strings. And I brought a bunch of songs to play at NAMM, mm-hmm. you know, at the booth or whatever. And he had no 7 strings. And I was like, dude, what the hell? You know, like, so you're kind of like, something's yeah. weird here. Something is off. And I mean, he gave us this really cool house to stay in. But he was like, yeah, man, all the food will be taken care of. All this will be taken care of. All these things, you know. And there was like no food. There was nothing like – and I'm not trying to be like bitchy about it, but it's like I was assuming sure. to get there and that everything was supposedly supposed to be taken care of. And then he had one seven string.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you're being a professional, so you're showing up being prepared, and then you have this guy dropping the ball like that. I mean, it's a similar thing happened with – Strictly 7 guitars. I believe like Ola used to have a model with them before he joined like with Washburn or something like that, but
England.
But I was when I was touring with Loomis and the Contortionists and those guys, they came out and they were like put up this big front about like all these things that they're gonna bring and everything. And they literally gave us a guitar that looked like a black spray painted 2x4, like the neck. Like had like a guy got a splinter that like legitimately.
Oh,
so
my God.
Yeah, it's
band were you in?
I was playing in 7 Horns 7 Eyes at that time.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah. We were like the opening act for Chimp's Banner, the Contortionist, and then Jeff Loomis. Or I don't remember the order, but those other bands.
Jeff Loomis on his own or like
solo.
Yeah.
When he was playing with the Noop and who else was in that? Oh, we had like
Alex.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool, man. I love Jeff Loomis.
How could he's you not, cool right?
What's that?
I said, how could you not?
I sent him a book. Really? He should have gotten it yesterday, actually, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, he's really awesome, man.
Yeah.
He sent me the backing track for Miles of Machines, and I did a cover on that. I don't know if you saw it. Oh, you saw that, I think.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Yeah, I posted some comments on that on our Facebook page about that. That was some things I really liked about that was, for one, it was all in one take. It's definitely like no edit magic in there. So
I did that on purpose. Like,
yeah,
it's like, you know, sometimes I like to make a production out of it, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't honestly, like, I don't care if people mimic the guitar on a video that they're really trying to like make, you know, super professionally, almost like a music video or playthrough.
Yeah.
But it's when you start telling people that you're playing live in one take and you're lying about it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't know how you feel about that, Zach, being a guitar player, but
same thing.
Like, I don't care if you want to like, you know, play some stuff and make it you know, like, especially when you're recording, like sometimes it's nice to make sure the guitar's tight and you do multiple takes or you slow it down a little bit because that's your main recording, but don't freaking play that and say, oh, you just got to practice and you'll get it down. Like, no, you got to freaking practice Pro Tools and you'll get it down.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
a difference
for sure.
But with this one, I specifically set out to do it all in one take. It took me like 20 takes because I kept fucking it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I did it and I still messed up, but I was like, that's good enough. Like, because my hands were starting to hurt too. I'm kind of have an injury right now too, so I'm not playing the best. But
what happened?
I think it's a torn rotator cuff.
Oh, damn.
Oh, wow.
Just right underneath my shoulder, like on my right arm, and it keeps affecting like my wrist and everything. Cause I just play guitar all day and I lift weights. Okay. And that's it. I go home and play with the cats.
Sounds like a pretty sweet life, my friend.
It is dope. So, but you know, when you lift and then you tweak something or you sleep on it wrong, it can affect it, you know, even just something small. So, I forgot what I was saying. Oh yeah. We're talking about TTM. So I go out there trying to act, like you said, you know, professional, just like everything was supposed to be taken care of. And he was supposed to have badges for us ready for NAMM, but he didn't get the badges on time. So all of us had to stand in line for like 4 hours to get badges. Like it was, I mean, it was paid for, but it was like, oh my God, like, what a pain. And then also just like NAMM is a disaster, man. Like it's cool. Like, but I think everybody's like, you're over it after like the first day. You're just like, oh, so you've never been.
I have not been. No,
it's like, I mean, I think there was 190,000 people there, I think. Ugh. And it's in like an auditorium, or it's like a, it's just like, I don't even know how you call it. It's the Anaheim Convention Center. Yeah. And there's six, there's like five levels. So basically they put the real shitty people on the bottom. And then the more you go up, like Ibanez, ESP, the big guys, Gibson and them, they're at the top level. And then like TTM and all the other guys are at the very basement level and it's just not as good.
Gotcha.
And I think, so we went there and then I show up, man, and I'm thinking it's going to be this big thing. And it's like a little baby booth and he's got this really crappy, like it's just like a little like modular gig amp, you know?
Oh no.
I'm like, this is not good. And he didn't even have a seven string and he's like showing off these necks that he made. That's it. He only had the necks made. He's like, oh yeah, man, these are really great. And I'm like, that's, it's a Jackson neck.
Yeah.
That's all it was. It's just a Jackson neck that you painted TTM on. This is so dumb. Man. And you know, but I was like, I mean, I had a lot of buddies that came to NAMM and I, and they told him I was going to play. And so I didn't want to like let them down, you know, and, he ended up scrounging together a TTM seven string, the only one that he ever made. And it was set up like, it was set up like crap. Like, you know, cause it, the guy had it in E flat and I tuned to E standard or B standard, whatever. Well, it's E standard with the low B. And so I had, we had to like do a really quick freaking setup on it to get it up to standard. So the freaking strings were like this far off the neck. So I'm not playing as good as I want, you know, just the stupid stuff that you just don't want to worry about. And, so I played like crap and I was sweating like terrible, man, cause it was so hot in there. And I was getting really mad and my wife was just staring at me like, you know, she was really upset for me, you know?
Yeah.
She felt bad for me cause I'm just getting stared at and I'm sweating cause I'm mad and like it's hot and it was bad, man. And I played like crap, but whatever, it was fine. And then the next day it was a Sunday. We were supposed to stay till Monday and I just bailed at like 5 o'clock in the morning. We got up early and I left.
Yeah.
And he texted me and he's like, hey man, where'd you go? And I was like, I'm fucking out, dude. Like, this sucks. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it was fun. I mean, I've never been to California before and that was fun, you know, but, you know, but the drive, we drove from Nebraska to California, 27 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because I took a whole week off and I wanted to make it a vacation. You know, I wanted, I didn't want to just get there stressed and then leave. I was like, let's just drive. And we went to, Winslow, Arizona, see the Eagles stuff.
Nice.
You ever been there?
Nope.
I've not.
You know what I'm talking about though, right? The song Take It Easy from the Eagles.
Oh yeah.
Standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona.
Nice. Yep.
And so I was like, you get there, Winslow, Arizona is a not, is not a great town. Like it's kind of run down. You're driving and it's like a broken down like gas station and then like a torn down tattoo parlor. The roads are not good. They're really bumpy. And then just this one little square, half a square mile of space is like beautifully paved. And it's two buildings of Eagles merchandise and they both hate each other.
That's hilarious.
Right across the street. It's hilarious. Like, yeah, because you go into one and they're like, oh, did you go into the other place yet? And I was like, no, we haven't yet. We're just kind of looking around and they're like, ah, don't even go over there. They suck. It's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then it's like this beautiful paved road. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and they got a red pickup truck, you know, like in the song, Flatbed Ford. And they got eagle statues of everybody and like people in the windows. And then they got this little restaurant there. And then you drive half a mile later and it's back to the same old like crack den looking place. So anyway, that was like really, that was all I wanted to do. I was more excited about going to Winslow, Arizona than I was after I left the NAMM situation. But I met Rusty at the Ormsby booth.
Oh, cool.
And I'm like a freaking fangirl at this point.
Yeah.
Of Rusty. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I've been watching him since I was like 12, you know?
Of course. Me too. Yeah, I remember when the first time he released an original video of him like in his living room playing Under the Influence.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, what is this guy doing?
You know? Yeah, what is up with this? This guy's insane.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was standing there and I just, you know, of course, like as you're walking through NAMM, and you guys said you haven't been there yet, but you should go. It's worth going. You know, it's really cool. If you like being crowded and pushed through a bunch of people and being sweaty, but it's really cool. Yeah. I met like Per Nilsson from Scar Symmetry. Oh, he was there. Yeah. He's really nice. And I could tell, man, he wanted to get bailed out from this one conversation he was stuck in. This one guy would like not leave him. Oh, you saved him? I kind of did. Yeah.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Like he's just standing there like, yep. Oh yeah, I know. Yep. Like, you know, he's like, please leave me alone. And then, so I go up and I was like, hey man, can I get your autograph? And he was like, sure. and then he's like, hey man, I'll talk to you later. And the guy left. And then what's that guy who, what's that drummer guy who was, he tried out for Dream Theater. He's from Australia. Virgil
Donati.
Virgil Donati. He was there hanging out with Per Nilsson.
Oh, sick.
And nice. Like, and I'm just sitting here like, what is going on right now? It's surreal, man. Like all these people. And Dino was there at the Ormsby booth and I'm like looking at him and I didn't see Rusty yet, you know, like, cause everybody's just crowding him, but I saw Dino and kind of hung out with him for a minute. And then I see Rusty standing there and I look at Alicia. I was like, oh my God, that's Rusty. That's Rusty Cooley. And she's like, who the fuck is Rusty Cooley? She didn't know. And you, I was like,
scream like a prepubescent girl.
Yeah. I'm like, we might get divorced right now. No, I'm just kidding. She was like, oh, go say hi. And I was like, I can't say hi to Rusty Cooley. Like, I was acting like such a bitch. Like, I was fine with meeting Pear. I was fine with meeting Dino. Like, I mean, it was still cool, you know, but I wasn't like, you know, is it Pear or Per?
I think it's Pear.
Yeah, Pear. Good old Pear. I had only seen him for a few years. It wasn't like since I was 12, you know, like the Scar Symmetry stuff I got into later. And so I go over to Rusty and, you know, I shake his hand and we're chatting about some stuff. And then he was like, I've seen you before. And I was like, you have? And he goes, yeah, why do I know you? And I was like, and I showed him, I was like, I won this competition. He goes, yeah, that's who it was. Like, yeah, congrats on that. And I was like, what is going on right now?
Right.
How does he know my name? And how does he know who I am? And he was like, dude, you got to play my guitar over there. He's like, you'd probably really like it. Cause I was using for my album that I was recording at the time. And I'm still working on it now cause I'm lazy, but I was using the RC7s from Dean.
Okay, gotcha.
They play great, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was like, dude, that thing's a piece of shit. You got to fucking try this Ormsby. And I was like, oh, okay. So, and then we talked for a little bit, got a photo together and that. And then that was it. Like, I didn't really think much of it past that. And then when the pandemic hit, he was offering Skype lessons a little bit more, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe I'll, you know, sign up on Skype with him and, you know, just for four lessons and just, you know, I don't want to sound cocky or anything like that, but like, I didn't really need guitar advice as much as I needed like industry advice. You know what I mean?
Makes total sense.
That's not what I wasn't going to call, or I didn't want to like, you know, hey man, what's a diminished arpeggio? Yeah. Like, I know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wanted to kind of hear his thoughts and just kind of see what he thought about certain aspects of the business and, you know, how to get endorsed and how to, you know, do that kind of stuff. And we ended up talking like, you know, one night he missed my lesson on accident because he didn't put it in his schedule or something, or one of his things ran late and I had to teach. So I only had a half hour set aside. And then he's like, hey man, let's just chat tonight. You know, I'm done at like 11 if you don't mind. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. I'll just go home, do it on my computer there. And then we ended up talking till like 3 in the morning.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. And I was like, man, I'm taking up way too much of your time. And, you know, and talk, I mean, you guys talk to him. He's a chatterbox once you get him going, you know?
Yeah.
And he was just like, dude, oh, check this guitar out. And he's like trying to like look for crap while I was sitting there. And yep. I was like, this is like super weird that I'm talking to him. He's so nice.
He's the best.
Yeah, he is.
So nice. And then he like gave me his, you know, his phone number and stuff. And we were texting, and then we didn't talk for a little bit cause I was moving in here. Mm-hmm. And that was like a big freaking disaster, you know, just getting everything set up. And, but I was sending, he was like, dude, send me some updates. What's going on with your school and this and that. And so I was sending him photos of my sign that got put up, you know, the lit up sign and all the cool stuff. And then I don't remember what happened, but, we just kind of just started chatting a little bit every day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just kind of happens like that.
Yeah.
So, and I'll go into that more with Rusty, but I figured maybe you guys got more questions or something. I'm just rambling.
That's kind of how the podcast goes, man.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all good.
Just, it's free form. We get in and we can talk about your cats for 2 hours and I'll be happy. Oh,
don't even get me started on my cats, dude. So my cats are my life.
Do you know Paul Wardingham? Australian. Mm-mm. He's Australian. Kind of like his genre is like called cyber shred or something like that. He's a really cool dude.
Cyber shred?
He does a lot of electronic and a lot of synth stuff.
It sounds very, if you like future hair, you're going to like this guy.
What's his name? I want to Google him.
Paul
Wardingham.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Australian musician.
Yeah.
Let me look at his face. Maybe I've seen his face before.
He's bald.
Oh, yeah. This guy. I've seen his face.
This guy, yeah.
I mean, I've seen his face. I guess I just didn't know his name. He's got a Wikipedia page. Yeah. I don't have a Wikipedia page.
Oh, well, you can make one yourself.
I tried and they deleted it. They're like, you're not a person.
You're not a real person.
Yeah, they were like,
he had his cat jump up right on his computer while we were interviewing him one time. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh. I love cats, dude. I am so you know, it's funny. They always talk about like metalheads and stuff. You know, you don't smile in photos and you're just kind of like off in your lonesome self and just kind of pouty. But dude, when I get around cats, like I turn into the lamest guy in the world.
Animals will do that to you, man.
I don't know why. Like, because, and it's funny because every time I look at my cats or like I see them every day, all day, most of the time, you know, especially when I was teaching home. But every time I walk into a room, I'm like, oh, hi. Hi, hello.
Yep.
Like, you know, you just get really happy to see him.
Yep.
I've got four cats, so.
Damn.
We're not going to talk about my cats, dude, because it will take like 2 or 3 hours. But the only thing you need to know is I got two girls, and one of them, their name is Starchild, because after Paul Stanley.
Nice.
And the other one is Vader, like Darth Vader, because she's black. She looks like she's got a cloak. And then the other one is Ruby, and she's disabled. Like she's got like her arms don't work. So we called her Ruby because she jumps like a kangaroo.
Okay.
And then I've got a Maine Coon and he's huge. He's like 20 pounds.
Oh geez.
I don't know if you've ever seen a Maine Coon before.
Yep.
Oh. Freaking dude, Google Maine Coon cats. They're freaking insane. And they're huge. They get up to like some of them. One of Alicia's friends had a Maine Coon who was like 29 pounds. Just massive cats.
That's insane. Oh yeah, that's enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool, right?
Yeah, they're huge.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, so that's it. I mean, you know, the two girls are mine, and then Ruby and Lou kind of go after Alicia more. It's funny, like at the same time every night, the four cats, like they just split up and then they go to her room because we sleep separately. Because she has a different work schedule than me. So we have two separate rooms. Mm-hmm. And then they'll go into her room and then mine go into my room. And it's just funny. They just sit there and wait for me to go to bed. So it's cool, man. So anyway, with Rusty, I had an idea a while back that still hasn't happened yet because life kind of is getting in the way. But I wanted to do this like guitar competition where I would write like a backing track, kind of like the Flying Fingers thing that I did, you know, mm-hmm. and just kind of make it like an open invitation for people to just write a solo and submit it. And the winner would get like $500.
Cool.
I like set aside $500 for it. Yeah. And then I was talking with Alicia about it, and she was like, well, who's going to judge it? I was like, well, me, obviously. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, you need somebody who has credibility. And I was like, damn. Thanks.
But you're right. Like,
you know, like, yeah, I mean, you're right, but moments, Jesus. Right?
Yeah, come on.
And she was like, well, what about Rusty Cooley? And I was like, oh my God, that's such a great idea.
Yeah.
Thank you for hurting my feelings.
Yeah.
I just texted Rusty and said, hey man, it's like midnight. I'm watching Terminator, you know, by myself. And I was like, dude, freaking shoot, give me a call. I have like this idea I want to run by you, and it's too much to text. And he's like, all right, man, I'm going to finish up with this stuff and I'll give you a call. And then, you know, we kind of bullshitted back and forth about some stuff, but he started talking about, before I even brought up this stuff, cause like my whole point was to like try to get YouTube subscribers, you know, so okay. You subscribe to the channel and then you download the track, kind of like Bumblefoot did that. Right. Okay. Ron Bumblefoot.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was like, you subscribe to his channel and then, he'll like share your video on his page. And I did a solo for him as well. And, he's a really nice guy too, man. Freaking insane. But, I was just trying to get YouTube subscribers and just try to get some following and stuff. Cause like, you know, it sucks when people don't know who you are and you're putting in a lot of work to do stuff for people that don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And he just started going, Rusty started going into, like, yeah, man, I really want to try to build my YouTube channel. Like, he starts just bringing this up. You know, he's like, you know, I'm stuck at home and I'd like to make some videos. I don't know anything about it. I'm kind of old school and I barely know how to upload the videos. And I was like, well, funny that you mentioned that, Rusty, because I have an idea. Yeah. And then I went into the idea with him and he was like, dude, I'm totally down. That's awesome. Let's try it. And then we started talking about optimizing like YouTube videos and, you know, Google advertising, Facebook advertising, how to like, you know, set your cameras up right, ISO, you know, just kind of went into a bunch of nerdy stuff. And he didn't get it at all, which is fine. Which is fine. I mean,
yep.
I didn't get it right away. It's not like you can just jump in and understand it all. You know, you got to kind of, just like guitar, it's just like anything else. You know, you have a basic idea of it, I guess, but to dive in and be really nerdy about it. So then he was like, man, maybe I should pay you to run this stuff for me. And I was like, well, I don't really need your money. Like, I mean, money's cool, but I was like, I feel like there, you know, maybe you could help me out with some stuff, you know, like just point me in the right direction with a couple of people and, you know, and I'll just help you out however I can. And if things work out, they work out. If they don't, they don't, you know.
That's cool.
And he was like, okay. So then he hits up the guys at Ormsby and, you know, probably if I would have written them, they wouldn't have really looked at it too much, you know, oh, this guy can play whatever. But Rusty's like, hey man, this guy's really good. And, you know, I he doesn't really talk about people that he doesn't like, you know what I mean? Like that sounds harsh, but if he doesn't think you're good, he'll be nice to you about it. Like, oh yeah, man, cool. But like, that's about it. Cause he's got too many people that would probably ask him, do you think I'm good?
Of course.
Like, no, no, yeah. But, and he's too nice. He's too nice of a guy to be that way too. So he just, you know, he keeps it chill. And, but he's like, I really think this kid could do some stuff and, you know, it'd be, you know, even just get him on here to do some stuff. And, so they were cool with it. And then they signed me up and then now I'm endorsed with them, which was really cool. And I've been helping him just do his YouTube stuff and edit videos and try to optimize his page. And so it's pretty cool. Like I talk with him pretty much every day now. And then like, I'm thinking to myself, like, what the hell, you know, like 16 year old me would just be freaking out right now.
Of course.
You know, it's probably like when you know, like you went and toured and then you got Jeff Loomis that you're opening up God. For.
I mean, I was listening to him when I was like a freshman in high school. You know,
right.
And then he's like, hey, you want to come over here? We're, you know, my buddy owns this hotel, so we're going to go hang out at this place. It's a little bit better. And like, you know, those kind of stories, you know, it's just super cool for sure.
Yeah. He's, and it's like, wait, what's going on?
Well, I mean, like talking about like Rusty being an awesome guy, like Jeff is so nice. Like, so when I joined with Seven Horns to fill in for their lead players, right? I flew out to Seattle with two guitars and that was it. And then I drove over to Jeff's house and he basically just opened up like his closet and I could take whatever cabinet and, you know, head and whatever I needed for the first month of the tour.
Wow. You
know, he's just like, yeah, help yourself, man.
He's so nice. Yeah. He's such a cool guy.
Oh, for sure.
I wish I could, like, he's somebody that, you know, because like my top five was Rusty Cooley, you know, like the Jeff Loomis, Ace mm-hmm. Frehley. You know, I'm a huge Kiss fan. Like,
gotcha.
Just it's almost ridiculous. Like, if you looked around my room right now, the only things that are on my wall is Kiss.
That's funny.
It's one of those things, man. Like, you just feel weird about it, and then you got to try to not be weird about it because then they're gonna think you're fucking weird. Yeah. And then you've ruined it.
Yeah.
Because I told Rusty, I was like, man, I am trying so hard. After we got to know each other, I was like, I'm trying so hard not to be fucking weird when I'm talking to you. And he was like, why? And I was like, because, dude, I've been watching you since I was 12 years old, 16 yep. years. And he's like, oh, that is weird. And I was like, I know. That's why I told you I'm trying not to be weird. But so I'm helping him out with stuff. And now, you know, we'll just text about random stuff, you know, just like life, you know what I mean? If he's like, awesome, you know, man, something happens or whatever, you know, he'll just text me about it. It's really cool. And we actually have a couple of things on the pipe that are coming down that I can't really talk about right now, but I'll definitely let you guys know when I'm able to talk about it. But there's some cool the one thing I can talk about is that we're working on a tune together.
Oh,
cool. Awesome.
I wrote for the Ormsby guys specifically.
Okay.
Because I got the guitar and I was like, man, it'd be kind of cool to have like a premiered video that I can share with Ormsby that they can say, hey, this is a guy we endorse. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with Rusty about it and he was like, man, that'd be kind of cool. Maybe you and I could, maybe I could throw a solo on there for you. So it's kind of brings it all together. And so we've been sharing tracks back and forth and I've got this song just about wrapped up. I was working on, right before I jumped on here, I was working on the drums and I was live streaming it on YouTube. So you can kind of go there and listen to it if you'd like, but, or whoever. So that's the one thing I can kind of talk about, which is super dope. And he hasn't done a solo yet. He likes to do all of his solos in the moment. He doesn't like to write.
Yeah, he was talking about that, which is so cool.
I don't understand it.
No?
I don't understand that. Like, I don't get it. I mean, it's cool. He does killer stuff. But most of my solos, when I just randomly throw them out there, like, they're just dog shit.
Mm,
I like to kind of work them, you know?
Yeah.
Phrase them out a little bit, kind of like I would say that mostly my style is like Michael Romeo.
Okay,
you know,
yeah,
that's kind of who I've really. Most people, especially in like the comments on YouTube, or you know that know who he is, they're like, dude, you're like Romeo. And I'll do like I did like a Dream Theater awesome. Cover. I know, okay. Right? Another guy I'd like to meet, but he doesn't like to talk to people.
Yeah,
that's my impression too.
Like he doesn't have an email address.
Yeah. Oh, I like didn't even know he didn't have one. That's crazy.
No, I was looking it up and it could be wrong because it was just like a thing, but one guy was like, yeah, man, I was talking to his producer guy and he doesn't have, I mean, this could be total lies. So hopefully I don't get caught like looking like an idiot, but from what I read, he doesn't like to talk to people mm-hmm. and not like, cause he's mean. Like, I think he's shy. I think mm-hmm. he's just kind of, you know, he feels weird talking to people and, he doesn't have an email address. He just does everything through Symphony X. So it's like,
yeah,
you have to, in order to get a hold of him, you have to get a hold of Symphony X and then they'll get a hold of him. And then
yeah,
that's about it. Which, and even cause Rusty's like, I've only talked to Mike Robio once and it was on the phone and it was like, it had to be set up like way ahead of time.
Wow.
So, I mean, and if Rusty Cooley can only talk to him once, like he probably will never talk to me.
It makes me sad.
But I know, dude. So, but that's what people like. I did a Dream Theater cover, and people were like, you know, when I heard the solo from John Petrucci doing it, like, obviously it sounds like Petrucci. It's his style, mm-hmm. his way of playing. Right. They're like, but when I hear you cover it, they're like, it sounds like Michael Romeo covering John Petrucci. And I was like, that's the best compliment I've ever gotten in my entire life.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Damn, dude. That's I don't think it gets much better than that, right?
No. So it's really cool, man. Like, hopefully this stuff kind of works out. I was trying to get a hold of him so we could maybe Skype and stuff, but he's like a freaking nut job with his schedule, Rusty. Like he's up till like 5 a.m. and then he goes to sleep all day. And then he wakes up at like 3 in the afternoon. So it's hard to chat with him unless it's at super late at night.
Yeah, I think he was always getting back to us like in the middle of the night for like the next day when we were setting up our schedules. But
talking to Jar Zombek.
That was interesting.
Fascinating.
Yes,
it was fascinating. And I listened to the podcast, but like, you know, from your guys' perspective, how was it?
Go ahead, Seth. You want to go first? I mean, for me, it was like I remember watching the movie with Bambi with Spastic Ink years ago because my uncle's a guitar player, and I think it was him. I think he was the one that showed me just a bunch of introduced me to a ton of cool music, like all styles, that sort of thing. But I remember that, and then I got super obsessed with Blotted Science for, you know, and so for me, just like interviewing him, and because I do a lot of like progressive rock metal, I can play all kinds of polymeters, all that stuff, but like what he does is so fascinating to me with the way he arranges tones and the way he it's such a different approach than what I'm used to, that it just like I felt like I needed a nap afterwards. I felt like my brain was just going to blow up or whatever. Yeah. But
my microphone didn't just pop there. Sorry.
No worries.
Good.
But yeah, it just like I felt like I needed to like think about it and then like revisit like our discussion because it's his brain's on another level.
I know. And you wouldn't even like, he's just kind of a normal dude. Otherwise,
yeah,
right.
Seems like, you know, because he talked about the 12 tone system, you know, the 12 where you freaking put all this stuff together, and I just like, you know, my little 17-year-old brain was just shot, you know. So when I found out about him, this is kind of a cool story. Well, it sucks, but it's cool. And now looking back, when I was in high school, so I graduated in 2010 from high school, and the last like 6 months was really terrible because I got like really sick. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I dropped like 40 pounds in a month. And they thought it was like, you know, I saw like six specialists and they were like, well, you know, it could be cancer. It could be like leukemia, which is like the blood cancer or whatever. And they were like really freaking out. And I was like sick as hell. And it turned out that in the house that I was living in, we didn't know, but my room was attached to a shower. Like, you know, my brother and I, we shared a room, but it was two rooms, but like split down the middle with a door. And then there was a bathroom down there. Well, the shower had leaked or something. And there was like black mold growing behind my closet. And we didn't know it. Like,
damn.
So I ended up catching an illness called Chlamydophila pneumoniae, which is not chlamydia.
Is that how the hell do you remember that name?
Well, when you're almost dead and it's the answer to... Like, it was bad, man. Damn, and sorry, I'm my freaking guitar cables being stupid. So it was really bad, man. Like, I was really sick, and they were concerned I wasn't going to graduate from high school, but I mean, I was an honor student, so they didn't, once they saw how sick I was, they were like, well, just, you'll graduate, don't worry about it. Because I did most of my stuff at home, you know. It would have been great now with the pandemic, like, would have been fine.
Yeah.
But, well, anyway, I was stuck at home a lot, you know, like we still didn't even know about the mold. I was like at home getting probably sicker because I was still around all this stuff, you know. Yeah. Luckily we don't live there anymore. And the people like renovated the whole house, and that's how they found out about it. We moved out and they ripped down that wall and they're like, oh my God, there's freaking mold in there. That's probably why you got sick. Oh, hey. Cause it had like a 75% death rate. It was freaking crazy.
Wow.
Insane, man.
Yeah. Insane. I was sicker than hell. Well, how this reverts back to Jar Zombek, and I want to tell him this story, man. Like him and I emailed a little bit, and we're trying to set up like a phone call, just him and I to chat, which would be great. But how I found out about him was, I found that Creepshow video of him with the cockroaches.
Yeah.
And I just watched it on YouTube when I was sitting at home, just feeling like absolute dog shit. And I was like, whoa, that's freaking cool. Like, this guy's insane. And then, you know, you start going down the rabbit hole of like Spastic Ink and Blotted Science. You know, Blotted Science was just like, you know, synaptic plasticity was just like insane.
Yeah.
And then I found the videos of him talking about the 12-tone system, and yep. and all I could do, man, was just sit there, and I had my guitar, and I was like really weak at the time, but you know, I was still playing, and it really helped me out to kind of give me something to focus on. You know what I mean? Like, other than how sick I was. So to me, it kind of, it's really weird to think about now, but like, to me, it's like that got me out of that crappy situation, and I was able to like find something to kill time and learn about more music theory. And I downloaded the tabs off his website. I did everything I could, you know, and then I moved out, and then I got better really quick, like within weeks.
Oh, wow. And
I should have known that it was the house, but you know, you don't think about it.
Right.
And you know, they gave me like these steroids, the shot steroids in my upper thigh, like I think it was called like Rusefin or something like that. I don't know, but they did that. And then they gave me these horse pills, dude, like the biggest, and there was only six of them. They're horse pills. I had to take one a day. And after insurance, it was $390 for six pills.
Wow.
Damn.
Insane. Like, my dad worked for the prison. He worked for the state. So he had really good insurance. Luckily. Yeah. No, $390 after insurance is insane. And I took six pills and I felt great. And I was like, well, shit. But you know, when you get sick like that, man, you can't take the hardest pill right away, because yeah. then your body, or like whatever the virus is, if it beats that one pill, there's nowhere to go from there.
Yeah.
So they start you off at like, kind of like, well, we'll try this steroid and we'll try this steroid. And then they kind of bump you up, and hopefully your body becomes more and more immune to whatever's going on. And then, so luckily I got that taken care of and I didn't die. That's good. So, but that's why like it kind of goes beyond just like, oh, I really like him because that song's awesome. It's like, it was a really weird time and I was really scared, you know, I was really scared of dying. It was a very strong possibility. I mean, they're telling like a 16, 17 year old that you got possibly have cancer, and you're like, I just want to go to prom. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
So then, and then I'm sitting here listening to Blotted Science. So it was really important to me, I think. And then now every time I listen to it, it kind of, you know, that's what's cool about music is that it takes you back. And you sure. can kind of reflect yeah. back on stuff. So that's why Ronjar Zombek is super important to me, not just as a guitar player to a guitar player. Yeah. So really that's cool story, cool. man.
That's a really cool story. Thanks.
Yeah. So anyway, he's a really nice guy too, man. Like, just, you know, he's congratulated me on the business and stuff, which is really nice of him. So hopefully I'll get to chat with him here pretty soon.
Awesome.
I'm glad that he brought up the book. I'm glad that so did Rusty. I mean, it's really cool that, because they totally don't have to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm paying them or anything.
Right. Yeah. Ron blasted it on social media. So he's like, these two books, there's like a Rush biography and then your book. I was like, I like Rush, but I don't want to read the biography, but that book sounds awesome. So
Alicia, that's her favorite band. It's Rush.
Really? I was jamming out the Rush today. So
sweet. I mean, yeah, man. Like, so she bought that book based on Ron's, she didn't buy my book. She bought the Rush book.
Yeah.
So you can tell who she's probably a bigger fan of. Rush. She bought Rush's book. I actually haven't read it yet. It's sitting at home, but, it'd be really cool, man, like to read through. I love Rush. So,
yeah, for sure.
And I know he isn't Ron in a Rush tribute band.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Which is just baffling to me.
I didn't realize he was involved in all those other projects. Yeah. I know him as a teacher and know him as the, you know, Blood Science and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but didn't realize he's the cover band. And what, there's another one too, right?
I don't know.
I don't know about that one.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe. I probably like, and it's kind of a bummer though too. I mean, I know he loves Rush and stuff, but they don't get a lot of big crowds from what I've seen. And they totally should. Like, if it were me and I lived close enough, because he's down in Texas.
Yeah.
Rusty's down in Texas too. But
yeah.
It seems like everybody's in Texas.
A lot of people are moving there.
I know, like Joe Rogan moved there, and yeah, I think Ben Shapiro's sure. moving down there.
Yep.
It's crazy, man. But yeah, If I were there, I'd be there probably every weekend, and just the weird guy that had the Ron Jarzombek t-shirt that I personally made.
Personally made.
So, but it's cool. Like, he's just doing what he loves to do, and I think that's what's really important, though.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, I wish that it's, you know, what really sucks, man, is like when you see people that you've watched for a long time and they're kind of having like a rough go at it or something, or like you're not seeing them as successful as you think in your head they should be.
Yeah.
And you're just like, man, like what can I do to help you? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Is there anything I can do? And honestly, that's what I did with Rusty, man, was like, you know, he was not struggling or anything, you know, nothing like that, but, you know, just kind of, I think he felt like he was spinning his wheels a little bit, you know, not getting anywhere. And I was like, yeah, well, dude, maybe we should set you up with a Patreon. Maybe we should set you up with this. And he's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't even know what those words mean. You know, and then we signed him up. We got him on Patreon and I set that up for him and kind of set everything. And I mean, dude, he's at like $300 a month already, which isn't huge, but it's more than nothing.
Yeah, of course, for sure.
And that's within 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, imagine in like a year you could have, you know, maybe 1500, $2,000. And that helps. So you don't have to teach so much. Maybe you can focus on doing content for people and mm-hmm. making videos and whatnot. So I hope he really takes up on that, because he deserves to be, not just him, but, you know, Ron Jarzombek, Jeff Loomis, you know, all these guys deserve to be way bigger than I think that they are. I mean, did you see like Miley Cyrus and Machine Gun Kelly won this like award for it was like rock, they were like the rock king and queen.
Seriously,
no joke. Miley Cyrus and Machine Gun Kelly, rock and roll's king and queen.
Oh man.
And you're like, I'm gonna kill myself probably. Like,
well, who like would you that, pick then who would you pick, fill that out there, for your king and queen of rock and roll?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'll think about it here in a second, but definitely fucking not Miley Cyrus or Machine Gun Kelly. And I don't have anything against them. I was actually, this is a super lame, but like, I was a huge Miley Cyrus fan when she first came out. Like, it, around that same time, I'm listening to Blotted Science, and then I bought Miley Cyrus's first album.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
I'm not even kidding. Like, people, my mom had some friends because she worked at a daycare. And like, some of the kids thought it was funny that I liked Hannah Montana, you know? Uh-huh. And so they always bought me a bunch. They bought me like a Hannah Montana lunchbox and like a pillow. and they loved it. But the song, like, go listen to her first album, man. Like, the songs, I mean, I know that they're engineered by people, you know, probably 10, 15 songwriters every time, but the songs are good, man. Like, they're catchy. And she was still kind of at that organic stage in her career, you know, where it wasn't like now it's just weird poppy made to sell. Like, this was like right as she was still a teenager, I think, you know. But man, that stuff was good. I listened to it. I don't even give a shit. But I'm kind of getting off track here. Oh yeah, but not for rock and roll, dude. Like, I mean, if you're gonna make anybody the king and queen of rock and roll, like, you or rock, you'd have to go with like maybe like Lita Ford for the Queen. Yeah, I
would say Lita Ford or Joan Jett.
Joan Jett. I mean, if you're going to go straight rock, you know what I mean? Yeah. If you're going to go metal, maybe we could go with the, I can't pronounce her name. I always get messed up, but the singer for Arch Enemy, you know, or if you're thinking the new one, the blue haired one.
Her name's easier to pronounce than what you think. What is
I
know. It?
I can't even think of what the hell it is.
I can't. I have no idea.
But she should, if you're thinking like metal, maybe her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're thinking for guitar rock, I would say like Nita Strauss.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, because she's like really huge right now and she's super nice, man. Nice. I have a student, Mackenzie. She's 8 now. She's 8. She wants to be a shredder. That's all she keeps talking about.
That's sick.
Yeah. There's a photo. I'll show you a photo. I'll send it to you guys through Messenger of her. They had like, they just started school and she, the teacher made all the students hold up like a little sign, what you want to be when you grow up. And her sisters were like, I want to be a nurse. And the other one's like, I want to be, you know, a doctor, or I want to be this. And she's like, I want to be a rock star.
Nice.
Yeah. And then she bought my Ibanez from me. Like, her mom was like, we need to get her a real guitar. We don't want this stupid little kid guitar. I was like, oh, I got this, you know, it's like a 24 fret Ibanez, you know, RG. I was like, that's for sale. And she was like, we'll get it. And then they bought it for her. And that's all she plays now.
That's awesome.
Because, you know, she likes Nita Strauss because she sees, I showed her a video and there's like fire and big explosions and, you know, cool stuff. And she's like, oh, I want to be like that. Nice. And so she wanted the Ibanez because Anita Strauss has an Ibanez, you know. And then I bought her Anita Strauss's signature guitar strap as a gift.
Oh, nice.
You know, because they bought the guitar from me for like $200 or whatever. It was pretty cheap. And then I just took $25 to buy her that thing. And now she just, that's all she has is the guitar and that. She's a dork, dude. I love it. And
the best. That makes it so, like, things like that just make teaching so worth it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because I, you know, when you get a seven-year-old, you're kind of, you don't always look forward to it because sometimes they're just rowdy and stuff. But man, she comes in every time ready to go, and she practices all the time.
So sweet.
Her mom sent me a video of her at like 7:30 in the morning. It was before school, and she was learning "Take It Easy" from the Eagles.
Nice.
And she had to get up before school so she could practice it.
That's so sick.
Because she wasn't going to have time that day. And I'm like, what seven-year-old thinks like that? So she's going to be successful if she keeps with it, man. Like, oh, I really believe that.
Of course.
And she actually did a solo. I did that Bumblefoot solo over his new track. And basically what you do is you just submitted a video and he'll share it. You know, he gives you the backing track. And she saw it. She saw me do mine. And she was like, that was really cool. And she's like, I want to do a solo. And I was like, well, maybe we can work on something and see if he'll share it, you know? And then so she had just learned the solo for Californication from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
Which is an F sharp minor, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get nerdy here, Seth.
Nice.
Okay. No, it's in the key of F sharp minor. And it just so happened that Bumblefoot's new tune was an F sharp minor.
Oh, nice. Cool.
And I was like, well, didn't we just learn that Californication tune? And she knew it, dude. Like, she knew it. Like, I'll send you a video, man. It'll be like, this girl is actually pretty damn good. Like, and I don't say that about most people. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, they're playing, but she's going to be good, man. And, I was like, well, you already know the, Californication solo, and that's an F sharp minor. And this song is an F sharp minor. And you know, for a kid, that's really weird to conceptualize, especially she's so young with guitar, not just being a person, but in guitar, she's like, you can put one solo over another song, possibly if it's in the same key or use the same notes. Like, that's way above where she was at. But right. I told her, I said, I'm just going to play the track and you play Californication over it. See how it goes. Turned out pretty good, you know, not great, but she was like, do you think Bumblefoot would share this if I did it? And I was like, well, I don't see why not. I mean, I can't promise, 'cause I'm not going to speak for him, but you know, I said, how about you just do your best, you write a solo, and we'll just see what he says. And then so she wrote one, and it was, oh my god, dude, it was literally like the cutest thing you've ever seen in your life. She just freaking, like, she did little bends, you know, even though she barely can bend the strings, but right. It was perfect, dude. Like, I mean, for her, perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mixed it too. I you know, recorded her separately into my you know, my Focusrite. She played the solo. I mixed it. I put a really killer guitar tone on there too, I think, for what it was. And then I submitted it over to Bumblefoot, and he totally shared it. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
And so, like, when you get that kind of positive feedback, I think that that's what's important for kids to see. You know, that people care that that you're doing something. You know.
Yeah.
And then Nita Strauss. I tagged her in a post and I didn't expect anything, but she like commented on it. Nita Strauss did. And she was like, man, this girl is going to be really, really good. You need to keep her going. So I showed her mom, and her mom's all excited about it. And then Nita Strauss added her mom. So now, wow. Nita's like friends with Mackenzie's mom on Facebook, which to a 7-year old, to me, that's huge. But to a 7-year old, she was such a little snot about it. Like, I told her mom to record it, like, because she was already asleep when it happened. I said, record her reaction. I want to see what she says. So she goes, guess who added me on Facebook last night? And she's like, who? And she's like, eating cereal or whatever. And then she was like, Nita Strauss. And she was like, no, she didn't. And he was like, no, seriously. And she showed her, like, look, freaking Nita Strauss added me. And she goes, sounds about right. And then I'm actually going to cut this out too, this whole section, and send it to her mom. I might make little clips of this if you guys are cool with that.
Sure.
Go ahead.
But she started a band with her neighborhood friends, and it was her and on guitar. And then she just told these other people they were just going to sing. And they're called the Girls, right? Uh-huh. Which is super clever. And she comes into practice one day. I said, "How's the band going?" And she's like, "Well, I had to kick her out because she said she could sing and she can't." And I was like, "Oh, Jesus." I was like, "So you've already kicked somebody out of this band?" She's like, "Yeah, well, I mean, if you can't sing, you can't be in my band." Like, oh, Jesus. Wow. 7-year-old girl, man. So she's going to be really great, I think. And her mom is like super cool because she pushes her. Like, her mom is a personal trainer.
Okay.
So she's like super fit and like very like driven. You know, her mom is very loud, person, very opinionated, which is great. But, you know, if Mackenzie ever kind of starts getting a little tired in lessons, you know, still can only keep her attention for a half hour. She's ready to go home and do stuff. Mm-hmm. But her mom will kind of snap at her a little bit like, "Hey, sit up, let's go." So, you know, you need that too. You need a parent who's going to like hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, yeah. I really hope she sticks with it, man, because A, we need more women in guitar, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's too, it's a freaking sausage fest, man.
It really is.
And it's just weird, you know, like, it's just a bunch of guys hanging out versus like, you know, you get somebody. And that's why I, you know, with Nita Strauss, you know, you can debate how good or bad or not talented or talented or whatever, if she deserves it or not. She definitely mm-hmm. deserves it because she put in the work. Mm-hmm. You know, she could have easily have stopped and, you know, faced the female adversity that is the guitar world, but she didn't. And she pushed through you know, I think that she should be, if we're going to talk about, you know, back to the king and queen thing, like, I think that she would be in the top for guitar anyway, but
yeah.
So yeah.
That's a good
pick. Totally got off subject there, but totally we're talking about because Edith Strauss and Mackenzie, hopefully Mackenzie sticks with it like she did.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it is always sad when you have like a student that's like just absolutely killer, and then you see them kind of fall away from it for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Because then you're like, "I just put in all this damn time getting you good, man, and now you're just bailing on me."
Yeah.
I had a student I said that to. Yeah. Who was it? I won't say the name, but I was like, they were thinking like, he kind of wants to try piano. And I was like, "Piano? What's cool about a piano?" And they were like, "Well," and the kid's like, "I don't know. I just wanted to try it." And I was like, "Okay, get in there and play on it." And then he plays on it. It was horrible, obviously, because he doesn't know how to do it.
Right.
And I was like, "See, you're going to have to start all the way over on piano, or you could just keep going on guitar because you're already good." And then like the dad didn't want him to do it either. Like, he was like, "Oh, why don't you just play guitar?" The kid's just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I was like, and then I said, "Well, here's the deal, man. I was like, you can do piano. I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't do, but just know that you're not stopping guitar either way." Like, I put, right. I literally, with his dad there, I was like, "I put too much time and effort into making you good, and you're not just going to bail because it's getting too difficult." And that's exactly what it ended up being. He kind of confessed that later. He was like, "Well, it was just because things are getting hard, and, you know, I don't understand the theory. I don't understand how to do this stuff." Right. So it's like, sometimes you got to knock him out of it too, you know, yeah. Not punch him, but knock him out of that mindset. Yeah.
Depends on the situation.
Maybe it was my dad. My dad was such an asshole, dude. Like, in the best of ways. I remember I was learning how to sweep pick, right? And that's really hard, man. Like, when you're young and you're trying to just get that, the right hand motion. And what was funny was that I could ascend really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say like a D minor arpeggio, I could ascend like a freaking champ. But coming back, trying to pull that right hand back, I was like, again, like 15, mm-hmm. just to pull that right hand back, I couldn't do it. So it'd be like, and then, which is the worst way to do sweep picking.
Right.
Because then you're not building consistency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it at the time, but thinking back, like, my dad's sitting there listening to this, just getting pissed. Just sitting there like, And then out of nowhere, dude, he just snaps at me. And he's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I was like, "I don't know. I'm just sweep picking." He's like, "That's how you're going to learn how to sweep pick? Does that sound good to you?" And I was like, "Well, no, I just can't." Did you panic as a child? And he was like, "Play it right or I'll break your fucking fingers. How about that?" And I was like, "Jesus Christ." And then And of course, like, he just had a temper. Like, he wouldn't, I hope. I don't think so. Yeah. But, and then I was like, I don't think I want to play guitar anymore today. And he's like, pick the fucking guitar up and play, but play it right. Like, Jesus. And then I tell him about it now, and he's like, oh, hell, I didn't do that.
Of course.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm emotionally scarred, because you didn't do that. Got it.
Oh, that's funny.
But, you know, and then, of course, later he's like, here, let me show you what you should have done. I was like, why couldn't you be nice like this now, like, a half hour ago?
Yeah, right.
And then he taught people, he taught other kids at the house, too. And, like, they'd show up, and they didn't practice, and they weren't good, and they were fucking up the same shit for, like, 3-4 weeks. He doesn't chastise them at all. He's yeah. like, that's okay. That's okay, buddy. You know, just, it's difficult. I'm like, what? I'm sitting in the other room like, this is bullshit. And then I remember I asked him about it one time. I said, Dad, what? How come you're yelling at me and you're not yelling at them? He's like, well, they're not going to be good. I was like, oh, okay. So you can yell at you if you're going to be good. He's like, yeah, plus your mind. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't
know. Sounds like a sports dad.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Well, my dad was All-State in football.
Really? I was too.
Oh, cool, man. You look like my dad.
Son, is that you?
Yeah. You kind of do. Like, he's got a big beard and, you know, he's a big guy. He's 6'3".
Oh, that's a little guy.
Yeah. How tall are you?
6'10".
No, you're not.
Yeah. I played college football.
Jesus Christ, dude. Well, it's okay. So he's not as big.
He's a little guy.
But my dad, you know, he's 6'3". He was 300 pounds, black belt in judo, All-State football, and he was a corporal at the prison.
Wow.
Damn. My dad was not a guy that you'd fuck around with.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so you're right, that whole sports dad thing. But I didn't want to play sports.
Yeah.
And my brother dislocated his knee in football, and it was bad. He's still suffering from it now, you know. It was like his leg was like 90 degrees that way. Oof. At his knee. It was like, so like you got your knee like this, there's your joint, but it was 90 degrees the opposite direction of the joint. And my dad was also a volunteer firefighter in EMT. Cause why not? And
he had some free time.
Yeah. He had a little free time. So he would fuck it. It was so weird. He's so weird. But we showed up to the hospital cause he dislocated his knee, and that's a big injury. It's not like you dislocated your ankle. Like, it was bad, man. And the doctor didn't have, because it was late at night, it was a football game, like, you know, 10 o'clock at night. And the doctor didn't have enough people on staff to help get it back in place, like the knee.
Oh.
So it's just fucking sitting there lopped to the side, 90 degrees. My brother's laying there just screaming because it hurts so bad. And he's like 16, I think, 17. And my dad shows up and he's like, he's instantly pissed because he's like, why is his fucking knee still like that? It's been over a half hour. Like, you know, you could lose your leg.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they might have to cut it off. And being an EMT, my dad knows the shit, right? And he was like, why the fuck is his leg? And he's just yelling at the doctor. And I'm fucking scared, dude, because like my brother's hurt. I'm panicked. My dad's yelling at people. I don't know what to do. And so he goes in there. He goes, we're getting this leg put in now. And the doctor's like, sir, we don't have the people on staff. He's like, I don't give a shit. And then he like, the last thing I see is my dad. He just pushed the doctor out of the way. And he puts my brother's knee on his shoulder. And he's like, all right, this is going to fucking hurt.
It's hilarious. Oh, Jesus.
And then I just like, I'm watching this from over here. And the door starts to close. And all I see is my brother just sitting there like this.
Oh.
And then the door closes. And my dad fucking snapped it right back in place.
Oh.
And I've never heard my brother scream so fucking blood curdling.
Jesus, that hurts me now.
Dude, well, it was so bad. It was, what happened was, I think somebody hit him from the side on accident. Like, it was somebody on our team who was just jumping at the ball. So it wasn't a foul play or nothing, right? But he jumped and his shoulder hit my brother's knee, which wouldn't have been terrible. Probably would have maybe hurt it a little bit or maybe popped it out of socket, but he went down, and then 6 or 7 other people jumped on top of my brother, and it caused it to just snap completely out of socket. It ripped every single tendon. It ripped everything. My brother, again, is still suffering from it now. He has to wear a brace, and he's got like 6 or 7 screws in there. And so when that happened, I was like, hey, I don't want to play football anymore. And
I have
my dad...
I had a similar injury playing arena ball.
Oh my gosh.
I got run over by two fat kids. The difference between mine and your brother's is my ligaments tore completely. So my leg was just flap. And it really didn't hurt that bad when it happened. Like it happened and it was also
probably endorphins.
Yeah. Well, I was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I rode a bus all the way back to where I was at, like 6 hours away. And my coach, being the classy guy he was, he pulled into a liquor store and he's like, okay, here's a 6-pack of beer. Here's some painkillers. We're going to get you home.
Yeah. Let's mix painkillers and beer and alcohol. Like let's just destroy your liver while we're at it.
Yeah. He's a really classy guy. So,
Hey, did it help?
Hey, I don't know. I just sat there and wanted to be home.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know what happened. Like, you know, he had to have like 6 or 7 surgeries, my brother, and it was bad, man. It's bad.
Yeah.
And my parents had to file bankruptcy because of it. It was so bad. But anyway, so I wrestled after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to make a decision, right? Like I was wrestling and I think it was at a meet. Oh yeah. Here's what happened. So I was at a meet and I was a pretty decent wrestler, man. Like, I mean, I'm a stocky kid. I'm like 5'8" and I weigh 230 pounds. So and I lift all the time. But in that point, it was right before I got sick, you know?
Yeah.
And I had a match. I won my first match. So then I go on to round two, and round two, this kid and I were, he was a little bit stronger than me for sure. And, he ended up like, it was a close match. I beat him. I pinned him, but, the reason why I think it was because I was so pissed because he landed on my hand and he jammed my finger, left hand. Okay. And the first thing, what's funny is like, you know, they say like when you die or whatever, or like when you're about to die, your life kind of flashes before your eyes or whatever. And I wasn't going to die. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but even when you get an injury, important things flash before you. You know what I mean? Like they say, like the first thing you think about when you get hurt is the most important thing in your life to you. Right. Yeah. You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the first thing that happened when this kid, his whole body weight landed on my hand. So it hurt my wrist, but it jammed, like really fucking jammed this ring finger hard on my left hand. And the first thing I thought about was not losing the match or my parents are going to be upset that I lost or the coach is going to be mad. It was, oh, shit, I don't think I can play guitar anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So right there, I had like this weird revelation as a child where I was like, guitar is important. So I was mad because it hurt. And, you know, you're just running off a pure, just pissed off aggression. Mm-hmm. And I pinned him because I wasn't going to let him get the best of me. Even though he hurt my hand, I might win this match if I can't play guitar anymore. So I won. And then I went on to the next round and I was talking to my buddy about it. They're icing my hand and I'm shaking because I'm so like upset about it. And my friend, really good friend at the time, was like, hey, man, you know, he was super into wrestling. It was weird how heavy he was. He was like, hey, man, he's like, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but like, I think you have more of a future in guitar than you do wrestling. He's like, do you think it's worth getting hurt like this? And I was like, I don't think so, man. And he was like, well, maybe after this, you know, because it was the last match of the season anyway, you know. And isn't that always how it goes? Like Tony Iommi, he was his last day at this job at that metal factory and he cuts his fucking tips of his fingers off.
Yeah.
It's always like the last day. I don't know what it is about the last fucking day you're going to do something, but bad shit happens. Yeah. And I made the decision that I was just going to throw the rest of the matches that day. I wasn't even going to try. And so I get into the next match and, you know, I made it look like I was trying, you know, just kind of like, I wasn't going to let him just like, here you go. Like, so I fought it. And then right when I got on the ground, I was just holding my hands up so I didn't get hurt. And then I just laid back and then they tapped me out. And my coach was like, what the fuck? He was getting so, cause he didn't know what was going on in my head. And then because of that, I had to like go into this the bilateral thing. Yeah. I didn't keep going up the rank. I had to go into the smaller thing. And like the coach was like, okay, you can beat this fucking guy. He's tiny. And I was like, yeah, I probably could beat him, but I just let him win. And he was, and then my coach is like watching me as I'm getting pinned and I'm just looking at him like, I don't care. And then he was so mad. My coach was so mad. And then on the way home though, we were driving He was also our social studies teacher, so I had to see him every day regardless, which sucked. But he's a cool guy. And after he was done being mad at me, it was just him and I, and everybody else was asleep in the back of the van. He was driving. I was in the front seat because I was too, like, hyped up to sleep. And he was like, hey, let me ask you a question. He's like, and I'm not going to be mad, you know, anything like that, but did you throw those matches? And I was like, well, yeah, I did. And he was like, why? He's like, maybe that other guy, I could see you losing just by a little bit. He's like, but that second guy, he's like, you should have beat him no matter what. And I was like, well, when I hurt my hand, you know, now I've got it in a splint, you know, and icing it. And I was like, when I hurt my hand, I was like, the first thing that came to my mind was guitar. And I just know that I'm not going to be a wrestler. I'm going to be a guitar player. And I don't think it's worth hurting myself. And I said, so I'm probably not even going to be on the team next year either. And like, at first I could tell he didn't quite understand because he's a sports guy.
Yeah.
But then I was like, or after a second, he was like, well, I think I can kind of respect that. He's like, cause you're not quitting to be a quitter. You're quitting to be successful at something else. Yeah. And I was like, exactly, man. And like, it's weird. After that, he had a lot of respect for me. Nice. Like, not as a wrestler anymore, but obviously it's like, you threw your fucking game, dude. You suck. But yeah. I think, like, for somebody to make, because that's kind of an adult decision, I think, for a 16-year-old to make.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with your life? And I'm like, I'm going to be a guitar player. I'm not going to be a fucking wrestler. I'm not going to be a firefighter. My dad wanted me to be a firefighter and an EMT, and I was like a little cadet or whatever, and I hated it. I mean, it was cool to dress up, you know, to put on the gear and shit, but he sent me into a fucking burning building. My dad was so brutal. He sent my brother and I into a fucking it was a controlled fire. They were burning down a house, and so they use burning down, I don't know if you know this, but like firefighters will use houses that they have to burn down to.
My dad's a firefighter. Train.
Fucking awesome. Your dad's awesome. And but you know, so they do that, they're training, and he sends me to this house that's on fucking fire. I was so scared. I had like a panic attack while I was in there. Cause you have to like hold onto the hose, and you have to like keep your hand on their foot so you don't get lost. And then I let go of the foot, and I thought I was going to die. And then I was only in the house like a foot and a half, probably. I didn't even get very far. That's a scary job, man. I didn't want to do it. Yeah. So anyway, my dad, and then I told my dad after that too, I came home in the splint, and the first thing my dad said was, what happened to your hand? And I was like, well, the guy fucking jammed it. And he's like, do you think he still play guitar? Boom. So I knew I had him, like, cause he loved guitar more than he liked wrestling.
Yeah.
Music was more important to him, but he was still a sports guy. And I said, Dad, I'm just going to tell you right now, like, I'm not going to be a wrestler. I'm not going to do sports. Look at what happened to Derek, my brother. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I was like, look what happened to him. I was like, can I just not do, it was my senior year. Can I just not do any sports and just focus on guitar? And he was like, he just agreed. He was like, no, that's fine. I think that's smart. And then that year I convinced my social, I had four study halls in my senior year because I set myself up. I was an honor student, had four out of my eight classes were study halls. And the study hall was always in the library at school. And in the back of the library was this little storage room. And I convinced my study hall teacher, who was also the librarian, who was also the computer tech, who was also the assistant football coach, who was also the assistant basketball coach, Mr. Smith. He was like everything in that school. And he was like the only guy who knew how to Google anything, it seemed. But he's this really cool guy. I convinced him to let me bring my guitar to school. And so he let me keep it in the back storage room with a little amp. As long as I kept it quiet and not bothering anybody and I had my grades up, I could play guitar during study hall. So the first study hall, I'd get everything done because it was my first class of the day. Go to a couple of my classes. That study hall, I'd get all my homework done for the day. And then I had two study halls in a row, so I stayed there for an hour. So if I had anything, I'd get it done. And then the next half hour, I'd play guitar the whole time. And then my last class of the day, I had one class that was it was barely a class, dude. It was creative writing. So that's not a class. And then right after creative writing was weightlifting. So that's not a class either. I had like three classes that actually mattered in high school or my senior year. And it was really cool, man. You just let me play guitar and that was it. And I'd go home and play guitar. And then I'd wake up and I'd play guitar before I go to school. And then it was insane. It was stupid how much I played guitar, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think Zach can probably appreciate that.
Oh, for sure.
A little bit more. Like, I don't know, how much did you practice when you were starting?
Me? Yeah. So when I first started, I was doing a little bit more of like the percussive acoustic stuff, and I got super into that.
Cool.
And so I was practicing probably, I don't know, at that point, maybe like 4 to 5 hours, something like that, if I could, a day, you know. But then I did have like a period of burnout for sure. And then I started getting more into like progressive rock and, you know, soloing and electric playing and stuff.
Right.
So, and then it definitely ramped up. I mean, I definitely had days where I practiced, you know, like an 8 hour session or whatever, but like most of the time I would say my practice was like my focus stuff was, I don't know, hour or two. And then the rest of it was just experimenting, you know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Marty Friedman talks about that where he's like, you can be focused for a half hour versus dicking around for 8.
Yep, exactly.
So, and that's kind of my thought process too, is like, I don't have a lot of time now. You know what I mean? Like I have time right now. This is my day off. I only get one day off a week and I choose that for a reason. You know, Fridays I get my bank stuff done and I get school stuff done. And so, not school, like my school that I don't go to school. Fuck school. but
hear that, kids, like, you heard it here first.
listen to me. You know, actually I have a student and Jaden is his name, and he's like, he was super shy when he started, and he was like super into like Johnny Cash and Elvis and stuff, you know. He was like 14. Now he's into like, you know, System of a Down, Ghost, you know, like more kind of heavier metal stuff. And he just recently found out about Rusty Cooley and Bumblefoot. So he's been getting into that, and he's going to be a really good guitar player too, man. But you know, he struggles with his grades, and not cause he's not smart, but because it's almost like, I think when you become too self-aware, then you just realize how unimportant school can be sometimes, you know. It's a lot of busy work, and it's like he realized it too soon that it's mostly just a mind game of just, we got to babysit you for 8 hours while your parents work. So, I did have to tell him, I said, dude, here's the deal, man. Like, if you're dumb, I don't want to hang around you. You could be the best guitar player in the world, but if you don't know how to form sentences and you're just an idiot, like, I don't even want to be around you as a person. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be able to formulate sentences and play by the rules somewhat, you know, and show that you actually care. And I said, this is your full-time job right now, school. So whether you like it or not, like, you need to focus on it. And then his grades went up to like A's and B's, and it took him no time at all. Mm-hmm. And I was like, see, it's not that you're not smart. It's that you don't care, and you need to care because he graduates next year, but it is important. It's important to go to school and do that stuff if what you're doing requires that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get a college degree. And actually, I go to one of my teachers here, Stephanie. She knows like 6 instruments: piano, violin, flute, bodhran, drums, and a bunch of stuff. She teaches vocals as well, and she's getting her master's degree in music education or music performance. I can't remember, but we went to college together. She's way smarter than me. Like, I used to cheat off of her stuff all the time, and then she came to me to teach here because she's like, man, I'm working at freaking Hy-Vee making sushi. Like, I want to teach instruments and play music all day. Well, how are you doing this? And like, I'm sure in her head at first, she's like, he doesn't even have a degree. It's fucking moron. she's too nice to say that, but she probably would if she wasn't nice. She'd be like, this fucking guy, he's cheating off of me.
Does she play cello by chance?
No. Well, fuck, I don't know. She probably does, dude. She knows way too much. She's probably the most qualified teacher here. Like, and I'm like, okay, well, like, but that's cool too, because she can teach a lot of different stuff. You know, she doesn't have to just stick with guitar. Sometimes I get bored teaching guitar. Just like, because it's the same thing over and over again. Here's C, G, and D, or here's the modes, here's the scales, here's this. And sometimes, like, it would be cool to have a different instrument to maybe talk about, but whatever, it's all good.
Do you do any classes like production or anything like that then?
No, because I suck at it.
Okay.
If I'm just being honest, like,
no, I was just curious if,
I'm still trying to learn that kind of stuff myself. Now what I will do sometimes is, especially when you're first starting out, it's cool to hear yourself no matter what, even if it's a shitty recording. So sometimes I'll create like a backing track, or I'll take a backing track off of YouTube and I'll have my students solo over it and then send it to them, you know. Or like, mm-hmm. you know, Jaden, the kid I was just talking about, he wanted to write a song and it sounded exactly like System of a Down, which is fine. But I helped him kind of polish the song up a little bit, record it, put some easy drummer stuff on it and sent it to him. And he was like super proud of it, you know.
Of course.
And it didn't sound great. not him, my fault. I didn't fucking mm-hmm. engineer it properly or put the right plugins or whatever in there. But, you know, I'm trying to get better at that. I signed up for that Nail the Mix stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just to learn, you know. I just want to, especially if I'm going to be doing this stuff, I don't want to have to pay people to do it. If I can try to get it somewhat good and then send it to somebody, you know.
Yeah. And that's just like playing guitar or anything else. It's one of those things where it takes practice to get better at it. I know Zach introduced me to the Andy Sneap form 10 years ago too. And that had just a load of information on it. And I don't know of a resource like that anymore, especially for our genre, where like you say, okay, look at these frequencies in your guitar. They're mudding up your vocals usually, you know, and things like that.
Right.
So
I didn't know what the fuck a high pass filter was for the longest time. So I just put a high pass filter down here at about, you know, 80 hertz order, and you're like, what did you just fucking say to me?
What
are you insulting me?
Low end.
Right, I guess. And I even as I was saying it, I was like, wait, is that the high end or is that the low end? I still don't fucking know. I don't know much, man.
So have you talked about a lot of marketing and business things and how you're kind of enjoyed the entrepreneur idea of it. We talked to somebody recently who is launching something that is more of a way to generate passive income. Have you considered like maybe creating like an online course to like send students through and kind of free up some of your day, or maybe move students into like groups and to go over the same things again? Or is there anything like that you're doing?
Well, I've got my Patreon, where I've got, I'm trying to come up with courses for that. The problem is that I don't want to have to spend money on like, you know, like what is it called? Like Udemy or Kajabi, those like online course builder things. They're really cool. They're really intuitive, but they're expensive. Like, this one, just have like as many videos as you need. And then plus X amount of bandwidth. And then, cause they have their servers that they host and all on, it's like $300 a month. So I'd have to have like 15 students signed up just to pay for the freaking thing. So what I'm doing instead is that I'm just uploading things to my Patreon, and then in Patreon you can categorize it in tags, right? So like lessons or modes or scales or exercises or whatever. So if people want to do it that way, then they can sign up for a specific tier, and it's like $30 a month, right? So it's really great. I mean, I love passive income, man. Like, technically my passive income comes from my other teachers, right? Because they're the ones teaching, and then they pay me 20%, which pays the bills here. So I don't pay anything to be here. Technically they do. They pay like the amount that they pay me usually comes up pretty close to paying all the bills. I might have to throw a couple $100 from my salary to make that happen. But, I'm trying to get the Patreon thing going, because then I can upload it to YouTube like normal and then just share the link unlisted, and then Patreon people can watch it anytime they want. And then you can upload it an unlimited amount of videos and content. And then you can also upload tabs and whatever else. So I'm really trying to get that going.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm already at like $86 a month. Look at me go.
Nice.
Nice.
That's awesome. Sucks. They help pay for these lights. That's how I've got these. I didn't have these a week ago. It was just really dark and awkward back there, but they paid for these. They paid for these two. Is there $40 a piece, you know, for the LED lights, and I can change them to whatever color I want. I just like purple and red.
Yeah, that's cool. I like the blue and red behind mine.
That is dope, man. Like, it looks cool. You should get a DSLR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a DSLR?
I do not.
You don't? No. Are you just using a webcam then, or?
Yeah, I'm using webcam right now, and that's just one of those little lights that sprays on the back and kind of moves it around.
So what's really cool, if you buy a Canon, any Canon, it has to be a DSLR or a mirrorless camera, not like a camcorder, right? So I just have like a kind of a cheaper one, $400 EOS Rebel T6i.
Yeah.
And it's got like It's got a little flip out thing so I can see what's going on in the camera. But yeah, what the reason that I would suggest buying a Canon now is just a couple months ago, they introduced, they didn't have it before. So I would have gone with like a Lumix or something.
Yeah.
And spent a little bit extra and went and got myself a Cam Link. You're seeing those little capture card Cam Link things.
Yep.
So that's $150 for the Cam Link plus another $20-$30 for the cable plus $600 for the camera. So, I mean, you're looking at $800 to $900 after tax just to get a nice setup like I have right here.
Yeah.
But just a couple months ago, because of the pandemic, Canon really stepped up and introduced this Canon web utility. And it's a free software that you download from them specifically. And as long as you have a Canon, you just go and buy like this $15 USB cable, and it will convert everything from your camera right to your computer without a Cam Link. And the Cam Link costs $160, you know, $150. So I just have that going, and my camera cost me $400. And I have one light. You kind of see, like, this is the light that I use. It's like a ESDDI or whatever.
Yeah.
I just use one. I'm selling. Hang on. I fucked it up. I'm selling this because I found these to one of my local friends. I'm selling this for like $50 because I got two of them, but they're so fat. You know, they're like.
Yeah, they're big.
And they take up a lot of space. You can't really nook them around your cameras without knocking shit over. So I went and bought these other ones that are really thin like this, and they kind of rotate and they're just as bright, but this one is either on or off.
Yeah.
But those ones are dimmable.
Yeah.
So awesome. I bought two of those just today, actually. And so when I get those in, I'll sell those for these for $50 to my friend. She wants them. And then I'll put one here. And then, so you see like this side of my face is really dark.
Yeah.
But that's because I don't have any light source over here.
Yeah.
But I'll put one here, and then I'll put one over here and dim it a little bit so I can get more of my face in here. But I think the quality is really good.
Yep.
And for $400 camera, and those lights were, I think, $40 a piece or something like that, $30 a piece. And it's just it, man. I turn my lights off and then, you know, just go with it. So
yeah,
it'd be worth maybe, investing in if you guys wanted like really – you know, you didn't want to spend a freaking arm and a leg on a freaking camera. Cause I route everything into OBS, and then OBS takes the capture. And then of course you got to have like an external microphone like you guys already have anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, cause you guys have a really cool setup. So I like your backgrounds. I like everything.
Oh, I'm just chilling at my house.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, cause it gives you some texture, right? It gives you something to look at. It gives you a separation, and you like, Seth, I think that your lights, I love that kind of orby light, you know, it looks like you're in space or something. But if you had a Canon like this, you could have it where the aperture is set where you're really in focus, and then your background gets blurred, you know.
Yeah
It's really cool. It's such nerdy shit, but like I'm like, love if it. I'm gonna spend all this money and make it look good, like I want it to look good. And I went and bought a Cam Link, and it didn't even work with the Canon very well. Like it caused, like every time I'd move my hand, instead of like this, how it's nice and smooth, it would have like these little like click, 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 click. Like you could see my hand glitching the whole way down. Yeah. And I was like, well, Jesus, they freaking already came out with this utility thing. God. So, I mean, if you guys ever wanted to, like, I'm telling Rusty about all this shit too. You know, I've got him on an Amazon, what do you call it? Like an Amazon watch list or whatever, where that sounds like we're being watched by the government.
A wish list.
Well, I have him on a wish list with me, and he's like, what do I need to buy? I don't understand this. I don't get it.
Yeah. I was just saying, when you were talking about that, you're the perfect guy for Rusty to talk to.
Oh yeah.
Because he's like, I don't know. We were trying to set up in the beginning, and he hadn't really used Zoom before. And it's like, I don't know any of this shit.
he's very old school, man, you know, but I told him, I said, what you need to do is not worry so much about it and just post something, you know, cause he's got a really nice, iPhone and his iPhone records in 4K.
Yeah.
And then you can buy like a lapel mic that hooks up to, iPhones now. So you get straight audio right into your iPhone. So he's like, man, I just don't know if I want to go out and buy a $500-$600 camera. I was like, well, freaking don't. Just do this. So I'm actually going to change the camera and the wish list to a Canon. And the only issue that I have with the Canon utilities thing is you can't put in more than one camera at a time to it.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't support two cameras yet.
Okay.
You know, so like if I had this angle and then like an angle over here, it's like I can't do it. So I got to figure out a way to make that happen. And I think maybe there's a way to link two cameras together and then outsource it from one camera, but I don't know. I don't know.
We'll have to see. Grade.
Yeah, exactly. I don't.
I would just take two computers.
Right, but then you can't route it into OBS at the same.
Yeah, that's true. But
well, could you? Maybe you could. Two computers together.
Two computers. You'd do like a display output to. You'd end up using a capture card probably. Mm-hmm. But I'd probably just record them and then put them on like slap them in Premiere or something.
Right. Yeah. I use Premiere Pro. Yeah. When I want to like do quick or if I, you know, cause like I have everything set up in OBS here where, I've got like, you can set up, do you guys use OBS?
I do. Yep.
Yeah. So it's cool. You can set up those scenes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then I've got scene collections. So if I'm like right now I'm on my YouTube scene. So it's set up for streaming specifically. Yeah. If I go to my record local scene, it's going to look like dog shit streaming. It's going to be really glitchy because I don't have it set up with the bit rate correctly. So, and this is all stupid shit that nobody knows this stuff around that I know.
Yeah.
Like people know it, but like, I don't have any friends that I could call and be like, hey, how do I set my camera up? People, they don't know. So I've had to do all this stuff myself.
Yeah. The first time that we started live streaming, I actually hit up somebody that I know that does Twitch streaming and it's like, okay, what do I need to do? Because we were doing like Q&A live. It's like, what do I need to do to get this set up? She's like, oh, get this, and do it like this.
Right.
It's like, good deal. So I played around OBS for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. And then, okay, we're live streaming, Zach.
Right. It makes sense. Like OBS is nice, man.
Yeah.
When it's working correctly, if it crashes, that sucks.
Yeah. I've had that happen to me once.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I had it happen to me like 10 times in a row, but it was my fault. I kept overloading it with plugins that I didn't realize were the wrong plugin for this program. Because what do you use for recording? What your DAW?
Cubase normally.
Okay. So does it have built-in plugins to it?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So like EQs and shit. Mm-hmm. Now I think, do you use OBS?
Yep.
So are you able to take your Cubase plugins into OBS?
Some of them. I think it depends on if it's VST3 or if it's not.
Okay.
I could be wrong on what that is, but most of the plugins that I end up pulling into OBS come from Reaper's plugin bundle, actually.
Yeah, the Repack,
mm-hmm.
Restream, or whatever.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
That's what I use. Okay. And so in that, you've got like it has like your re-EQ
mm-hmm.
or recompression.
Yep.
There's a recompression and then there's a recompression standalone.
Okay.
There's two files that get uploaded and you have to, in OBS, from what I understand, you have to use the standalone one because I think it's a smaller version of it. So it doesn't overload the system. I kept going and opening up the EQ like normal and then it would fucking crash OBS.
Oops.
And I'm like, this is bullshit. And I'm like, oh wait, it's my fault. I did it like 4 or 5 times in a row, but because then I just see it. I go, oh, boom, EQ, boom. And I was like, mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you take everything through your DAW and then route the final audio into OBS?
What's that?
Why wouldn't you just take everything through your DAW and route your final audio through OBS? That's kind of what I do usually.
So what I do is that was just for my microphone. Because I have this as a USB mic.
Yeah.
So then I would just use those plugins to help with the, because I understand Reaper's plugins better.
Yeah.
Like then the ones that are built into OBS, I didn't quite understand how they worked. It kind of was fucking me up, but I was like, man, if I could just have Reaper on here, that'd be great. And it ended up working out. Okay. So I can put a compression on my microphone and then put an EQ and all the other stuff. Then I understand it looks like what I see all the time on Reaper. But when I'm doing guitar or if I'm streaming stuff out, I just put Restream into a filter here on OBS and then route it out like normal.
I just feel like you'd have more power if you just ran all your audio straight through Reaper and then ran it out. Of course, when I do that, I have a separate computer that is just set dedicated to stream and then one that's dedicated for recording. And then I run literal like hardwire out from one to the other.
Like you're using two computers at the same time?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to have to chat more about that later, because that would be really nice. Because then I can actually maybe, because then I could probably do two cameras. You know, one USB into one and then one USB into the other.
Well, I'm just hardwiring the audio out from one to the other.
Oh.
So if you were, that's what I was thinking with the video, you'd almost have to have a separate capture device.
Mm-hmm.
Going in.
Well, we all have to figure it out. Yeah. I don't understand things. Yeah. So, but yeah, I do have to get going because it's snowing pretty bad here right now.
Oh no.
I just got my text from my wife about it. She said that the roads are pretty bad, and luckily I only live like 8 minutes from here, but you never know.
Still, safe travels.
Yeah. What else, what other questions do you guys have, or, you know,
Before you go, we need you to plug all your sites, anything you want people to visit, your YouTube, your Patreon, any kind of links that you have to give out, and make sure and send those to me, because I'll put them in the show notes too.
Sweet. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. As far as like YouTube, I don't even know my freaking URL for YouTube. You just YouTube my name, Zachary Adkins, and then you'll see me. I'll look like me, long haired. And Patreon is, you know, patreon.com, Zach Adkins Guitar. That's Zach with an H. So, and as far as like the book, you know, definitely go pick that book up if you're a guitar player, you know, just for exercise purposes. And, you know, I've got a lot of people that have been playing for years that they just see exercises in there that they'd never seen before. And I specifically meant to do that, where I sat down and did exercises without a guitar and just typed them into Guitar Pro to see how they would flow. And it forced me to think about it differently on the guitar, which was cool. So, and there's tons of stuff. Basically, the whole book is meant for every day. You're supposed to sit down and do one chapter. And if you did it at the BPM required, without messing up, without stopping, it should take you a half hour to get through the entire chapter.
Awesome.
And then the next day, so day one is chromatics, day two is pentatonic. So you have a ton of pentatonic things, and it's supposed to take you a half hour without stopping. And then the next day it's like major and minor scales. And then the next day is like, fuck, I can't even remember. Too many things. Oh, I guess I can look. But anyway, you know, there's tons of stuff in there, man. Like, and then that daily journal in the back, or weekly journal in the back, is really great. Odd note groupings, sweep picking, arpeggios, modes, everything you could pretty much, like, I look at this, like, if you can play this whole book confidently and all the way through, you'd be an advanced guitar player. You know what I mean? Like, that's my whole, that was the whole point of making it, was like, cause people, you know, it's always weird when people say like, how do you know where you're at in your guitar playing? And I don't know if you'd consider me a beginner or an intermediate, or if you would consider me advanced or what, but like, if you could do all those things, cause like, I bet, like, you know, Zach, I bet you could probably go into that book and nothing's going to like scare you. You know what I mean? You're not going to be like, oh God, what the hell is a Phrygian mode? Oh. Right, you know, you're going to get it. And so you would be an advanced guitar player in that, right? Because you understand the theory behind it and you can physically do it. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool, man. But thanks for buying it. You know, I mean, I really appreciate it, because, you know, I mean, I don't make a lot of money with it because most of my money comes from this. But, you know, I mean,
yeah,
1 month they paid me like, I don't know, like $500 from Amazon.
Sweet.
And I was like, well, thanks. You know, and then next month was like 200, and the next month was like 150 or 250. You know, so it's like every now and again, I just make a little bit extra from it. So it's really nice to just kind of get, pay an extra bill, or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. So
that kind of reminds me of a buddy that I have that's in a movie. He played the fat kid in that movie, A League of Their Own, the one with the chocolate over his face. I don't know if you remember that or not, but he's like, yeah, I can always tell when it shows up on HBO because I get a bigger check for my royalties for that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's dope. That's
awesome. I appreciate your time, man. And yeah, I appreciate, man, this book. So it's awesome. For anyone that's listening and not looking, that the book is called Guitar Efficiency, Daily Exercises and Tablature Workbook with Journal. It's by our friend Zach here. And it's killer. This is something that I'm going to take into my daily workout routine. And,
I appreciate that, man.
Try to knock it out, because I'm probably very advanced in theory and middle line intermediate to upper intermediate for playing.
Hey, so perfect. Then that, it'll help anybody. You know, if you don't know anything about theory, but you can play, then perfect. You know, you can, or vice versa, you know? So, but thanks for getting it. It's really cool, man. Like, I didn't think it was going to be as big as it was, but, you know, Amazon bestseller, and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. So,
well, anytime Ron Jarzombek says, hey, get this book with guitar workouts, right? Like, fuck yes, I'm getting this book. I'm buying it right now.
Like, tell me what groceries to buy, Ron.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, on that same note, a totally side story in an interview that I read, and then I'll let you guys go because I could talk for hours about Ron, but he was talking in an interview 10 years ago, 11 years ago, about how he had a hand surgery. Mm-hmm. And in the hands, when he got done with it, there was like these two little, like these like Chinese bell balls is what they're called or something. And on the inside of these like metal balls is like little bells. And so the whole point is for you put the two in your hand and then you rotate them, like you spin the two, like, you know, opposite of each other. And you, the whole goal is if you can move them around your hand without having the bell go off on each one of them, you know, because they ding or they hit the sides really harsh, and you, then like it like builds your hand strength and your coordination. And he had to do that when he was after his surgery, and he was like fucking clanking them together and the bells were going off like crazy. And then after a while he got his dexterity where they would just rotate perfectly and then it would be as quiet as it could be. And I went and bought some because I was like, that's fucking genius.
Yeah.
And then I sucked at it. And then the, you know, everything was like bing bing fucking bing, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then after about 3 weeks of doing that every day, like, it kind of helps relax your hands. So anything that Ron would tell me to buy, I'd probably buy.
Yeah, he's a hell of a guy.
So, well, I really appreciate it, man. Like, both
I appreciate
you guys,
it too.
Like,
this has been a great conversation, man.
I agree, man. And you know, post some stuff, man. I want to see your playing for sure.
Sounds good.
So, all right, well, we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right,
go home, pet your cats for us, man.
Right? Yeah. All right. See you guys.
Yeah, bye.
Dissonant Harmony.